starts. The Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
Joe.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Joe.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're freaking fired.
Joe.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
Joe.
Look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, but...
Please focus on the show.
Joe.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're freaking fired.
Joe.
Want to get high?
Joe. You have no brain.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
Joe.
What the hell kind of country is this where I can only hate a man if he's white?
Joe.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Same old guy. I fuck with new music. They love the new music. Hi, guys.
On a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
They love the band Chicago.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. A possible dusting of snow and all the ships at sea. And now, the long snap coaches for the New York football Giants. John Geronimo, Michael Bama.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Finally, we're back.
God, that was quick.
Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Monday, January 6th.
Monday.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hold on, no, no, Buzz.
Oh, not the date, the phone number. It's been so long.
877. Has it really?
Yeah.
877-365-3636.
Now, hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
There you go. See, and no time constraints, because this music just kind of just goes on until we decide that it just goes away like that. It's gone.
I could have used a little extra time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, except for being fired... The longest time ever, I think. I've been in radio 30 years.
Sure felt like it.
The longest big spot of time ever away from this place.
Same here.
And if anything, I think here's the upshot of that. You know how normally we come back from vacation and we feel real good the first day and it lasts about 1 hour?
Right.
I think today it might last 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. I got money on that.
You don't think so?
No, I got money on that.
Well, I got something that'll cheer you up.
When are you going to the phones?
Not for a while.
Maybe go 2 hours then.
Not for a while. Only one celebrity out of the many that we've had on the show remembered us, and more specifically, with a Christmas card this year.
I bet I know who it is.
Every year he sends one.
Is it our good friend, Mr. Julio Iglesias?
It sure is.
That's wonderful.
Every year, happy holidays, all our love. Julio, And I can't, Miguel, Christina, Victoria, there are the Julio Iglesias family.
And look at his toe-headed brood. I mean, they're all blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids.
That's
there you
nice.
Go. With the only celebrity still to send us a Christmas card. We had him on the show one time.
We did, and we had a wonderful time with him.
One time, and he was drunk driving around Miami, and anyway, he's the only one to send out a Christmas card. So, hi, and thank you for listening. Yes, I promise we will get to your many, many calls as we get to today's show.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to yell about. The weather guys, clone baby, football, television commercials. First, why weren't we here last week?
Yes.
Well, it's very simple. Maybe some of you know, some of you don't. Rob made a brief announcement at the beginning of the show last Thursday and Friday that my father-in-law, Les, passed away on the 27th. And I'm going to take the first break today. I don't want to be a downer. I'm going to take the first break, a very quick break. I just want to talk about Les, about my father-in-law. I'm going to tell you some things about this man and why we weren't here. And then we'll move on. So I got plenty of other stuff.
Anybody that's listened to the show for a number of years since we've been on the air, Les has periodically been on the show. He's I think he one time he was in the studio. He came by and we've called him many, many times over the years.
And you guys who listen know that I'm adopted, and that my adoptive parents are just the worst. And Les and Big Frieda are like my parents. And Les, more, even more so than Big Frieda, Les was always there for me as my dad. I'm 44. I've been married to my wife. This year it'll be 22 years. And obviously I knew Les even before I married Frieda. So for half my life, this guy has been my dad. And was very, very close with him. I was. Everybody was. But I thought that I had a special thing with Les because of my situation, because I didn't really have a dad. He was my dad. And on Christmas night, we were going to take my mother and father-in-law out to dinner, and he was too ill to go out. So mm-hmm. we brought dinner to him, and he had been ill for a while and hadn't eaten anything for a couple of days. And he ate all the food we brought, which was a good sign. And he seemed to be a little more perky. And then at one point, it was just he and I sitting in the room. He had a hospital bed in his bedroom. And it was just he and I. And called me close to him, and he said, I want you to know I love you like you're my own son. And no matter what happens, you take care of Frieda, and you take care of Mom. And this was before we knew that he was really checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that night I got home and I said to Frieda what her dad had told me. I said, I just have the feeling that he knows he's coming to the end of the road. Why else would he say this to me? I mean, he'd told me before. I was blessed enough that he told me that he loved me, but he'd never just come out and said, I love you like you're my own son.
Mm-hmm.
And then specifically, you know, take care of my wife, and take care of his wife. You know, not that all the rest of the family won't help, but
what a nice Christmas gift to give you, though.
Yeah, and it was wonderful for me. This guy was so great that he gave me his last full day alive of being conscious and know what was going on. One of the last things he said was something that would give me a closure that I never thought I'd ever have in my life, because my adoptive parents are so screwed up, and the relationship with them is so bad, and this guy meant so much to me, and I come off on the radio like an a-hole, and a lot of times I am, and maybe partly that's because I'm an a-hole, and partly because when I was a kid, I never had parents who ever said to me, you're doing well, we're proud of you. I've told you before, it was always, you damn dummy, you idiot, stuff like that. Not to be a martyr, but it was just something I never thought I would ever hear. And when we signed our contract, before we had left on this vacation, I got a phone call from Les where he said, I'm proud of you, you worked hard, you deserved it. And I thought at that time, I thought, wow, that's something I never heard from my dad. And I thought how lucky I was at that time to hear that from Les. And then on the night of the 25th to hear that, that really got to me. So he was so wonderful to give me that bit of closure that I needed. And I said to Frieda that night, as I mentioned, that I thought he was going to pass on. And then it gets to the 26th, that were the day after Christmas, and he was just struggling. Every breath was a moan. He was surrounded by his entire family. And at one point, excuse me, at about 3 o'clock on the 26th, he took the oxygen away as he appeared ready to check out. And everybody had a chance to say goodbye to him and tell him that they loved him. And he didn't die. Mm-hmm. He fought back. He kept fighting back. And he continued to live. So everybody breathed a collective sigh of relief. And we made it through the night of the 26th, which now brings us to the 27th, which was Friday. And by this time, other members of Frieda's family have gone back to doing what they do because that's one thing he wanted for them to do. He wanted them to go on and live their lives. He mentioned that he wanted Doug, his son, to go back to work, that my wife, Frieda, and my sister-in-law, Robin, were going to go to New York to see a play. And he was very adamant. He was having strokes and seizures and was not able to get out a lot of words. But at one point, he said, go. He said to my wife, he wanted her to go. He didn't want her to miss this play in New York. So it was Friday, the 27th, and Frieda and Robbie are on their way to New York, and everybody is gone wherever they are. And it was just Big Frieda, my mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law, Judy, who's a nurse, who's just devoted the last 5 years of her life to taking care of this guy day in and day out. And me. We were the three people that were there with Les. And took a real turn for the worse. And again, I consider myself lucky enough to be there at the very end, because he had moments of consciousness, moments of clarity, where he would look directly at me or look directly at Big Frieda or at Judy, and he was not able to speak, but he would look. And with Big Frieda, with my mother-in-law, he reached out and actually hugged her and wouldn't let go. So then about, I don't even know how many hours this went on. It was decided that he would need some a morphine patch. So my sister-in-law, who's the nurse, called the doctor, and they said, go to the Rite Aid, and they'll have it there. And I don't apologize to anybody who was in line that day, Friday the 27th, at the Rite Aid in Ocean City, because I was a freaking jerk that I arrived there with this prescription. Excuse me. And there were people just going about their lives. You know, just talking about Christmas and waiting for whatever pain medication or prescription, allergy, whatever they wanted. And I was way in the back of the line, and I got so pissed. I just went to the front of the line and I said, does anybody here have a life or death situation? Because I do. My father-in-law is dying right now and he needs this to ease his pain. Is there anybody here that can top that? And then the people moved out of the way, and the pharmacist said to me, it'll be 4 hours. And I said, I don't think this man has 4 hours. You call the doctor right now. I said, I demand you call the doctor right now. There's no way that it takes 4 hours. I know you have what he needs right behind you. And it was really a dick. And it worked, because she called the doctor, and the wait went from 4 hours to 40 minutes. And was able to get the medicine and bring it back to where Les was. And it was just like a patch, like a nicotine patch.
And my sister-in-law applied it directly above his heart area, and it did the trick. And it was pretty awful. It was very, very awful to see this guy who was so full of life all the time and never had a bad word to say about anybody. And was so wonderful to everybody who came in contact with him and did so much for everybody. To see him like that, his hands had turned almost purple, and his face had gotten very purplish. And then when he passed away, within 5 minutes, all the color came back to his face. And he looked very calm. And it was then at that point that we had the awful job of calling all the other members of Frieda's family and telling them that Pop had passed on. And, you know, they felt awful, a lot of them. My nephew Kelly came up and was, you know, a lot of them, like Kelly, were mad at themselves that they weren't there at the very end. But how were any of them to know? Because the guy on the 26th, it was like some out of a TV movie. He was ready to check out. His whole family was there. Everybody was saying, "We love you. It's time for you to go. You know, stop fighting it. You'll feel better." And the guy kept fighting to the very end. And then the next day, he appeared to be status quo. Not great. Not awful. Didn't really know that he was going to go the next day.
You never do know.
So he died, and then there were many, many private family events that I'm not going to discuss now, because it's just not proper. But that's why we weren't here, and it wasn't one of those things where you could just have the guy die on the 27th and wrap things up in time to come in on the 2nd. And there was a very nice service. I want to thank Buzz and Marcia for making the drive up. That meant a lot. I know the rest of you guys would have been there if you could have. It was a nice surprise to see Buzz, Marcia, that day at the funeral home. And then we cremated Les. One thing that we didn't personally do it, but we had it done. One thing about the guy was, he had said to me on the 25th, he said, "Make sure you, in the midst of all the stuff he was telling me, make sure you follow when it's time all the things I've written down." And the guy had taken one legal pad, yellow legal pad, dated last June, and had everything written down to the hour and to the minute of how he wanted things handled when he died. That he wanted 2 days later for there to be a service for anybody that wanted to come. And then there was the cremation, and then there was something else, and then there's something else in a couple of weeks, and that he wanted something to be at my house or at Robin's house, and that he was very specific, and I admired the man so much. Even in death, he had a lot of dignity, that he knew exactly what he wanted, knew how he wanted to handle it, and he was just a really, really great guy. And I really, really miss him. But I'm very, very glad that he was in my life. And for an awful long time, I've walked around, I felt sorry for myself. And I realized that it was so stupid for me to walk around and feel sorry for myself, because I did have a dad. That last was my dad, and I think I had referred to him in such terms, but I would think every once in a while, well, yeah, he's my dad, but he's not really my dad, and I'll never really know what that's really like to have a mom or dad. You know, woe is me, oh, the martyr, poor me. Well, God bless him. He took care of that on the 25th, because that meant an awful lot to have him tell me that he loves me like his own son. And asked me to take care of his wife and my wife, which I will do, which had been the plan. And he's a great man. He was 81, and he was the happiest guy I've ever met in my life. We had a nickname for him, Max, because his answer to anything was, Max, no difference. You really could say to him, Pop, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Everything was whatever. Makes no difference. And he was. There was never a time when he was not happy. There is not a picture of him. I wish I could say this about myself. There is not a picture of this man taken, well, unless he's sleeping, or drunk, passed out, which happened, in which he's not smiling.
Well, we can say the same thing about you.
He was just... he was a wonderful guy.
Sounds like he was awfully courageous at the end too. Sounds like he had a lot of guts at the very end, which is that's tough.
There's a lot of stuff that he didn't want to talk about with people, which have never been mentioned. I don't think in a public forum that I'll mention that he got the Purple Heart in World War II, and saved a bunch of guys, and he would never show you the Purple Heart. He would never talk about the fact that he had it. He would very gladly pull up the leg of his pants to show you the hole in his leg where the bullet went in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as he would ever go. He was never a guy to brag on himself. Really wasn't. And, God, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. He loved his family. He had, I don't even know how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And he loved life, and he loved Big Frida, and he loved me, and I'm very happy that he was in my life. And that's why we were not here Thursday or Friday, because we still had obligations. And those obligations will continue, but they won't take away from time here on the radio show. And that's it. If you have somebody like that in your life, good for you. And I wish you the same feeling. Mike, I know you had that with your dad.
Yeah, I would tell you the one thing that I can really relate to that you mentioned there was that when you were talking about family members, and this goes for anybody in the listening audience that's had the same thing happen, don't beat yourself up when someone's going like that, as my father went in a similar fashion right up until the morphine. You can't. You have to go on with your life. You never know. Nobody can tell you exactly when the person's going to pass away. And what the other thing I wanted to say to you is what I think I mentioned this when we spoke last week or the week before. What an incredible gift to give you. You know, probably the best Christmas present you've ever gotten with the words that he had for you. And I know he felt that way about you, but you know, you two did have a special relationship, and I'm not going to share the stuff you share with me about how you know, you have some wonderful stories. I hope sometime in the future you could tell some of those stories about special moments you have with him, because I always found those pretty amusing, the way you know, you were very close to him, and I did not know the man well. I knew him from the show and from calling, but the one thing that I do remember about him was the demeanor that he had, as far as always a smile and always a very positive outlook, and that's a wonderful story. I know you had that hole in your life, and he sealed that up for you, and I think that's a tremendous gift. It really, really is.
And I didn't take him for granted, and I'm sad he's not around, and I know his the rest of his family feels the same way. That Frida was talking to me about what's going to be said at one of the many events that we still have to go to. And she was going to say something along the lines of that he was, in a lot of ways, when they were growing up, he was not the ideal dad, that he never went to any events. He never knew what Frida majored in college. You know, he paid for it, he never knew. Didn't know a lot about his kids. He wasn't one of those guys that would go to every ball game or go to every damn recital or whatever it is that we drive ourselves crazy about with our kids.
Many times because he was working, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, in the business that he was in.
And but none of his kids felt slighted.
Mm-hmm.
That they all felt that Les loved them, because that's just the way he was. That he didn't have to be one of those guys who had to go to every ballet recital and every football game and every t-ball game. They all knew that he loved him. And he was just the greatest. And I'll miss him all the time. But I was very, very lucky to have him in my life. And I loved him. And that's it. That's it. Lester Wright. He was 81, and he went peacefully.
Good.
So that's it. This is for you, Les. And the other thing he loved, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, he loved this damn show.
Yeah.
He, to his dying day, every day at 3 o'clock, he would put his big old man headphones on, and he would listen to our show. Every,
you got him those headphones, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Every day, he would listen to the show, and he derived a lot of pleasure out of living vicariously through me with the things that we would do on the show.
That's great.
A lot of times, I would not think the things that we would do on the show would track with a guy like Les, a guy who was that old, but he was there for every second, and he loved it. He loved listening to the show, and you know, he was just so great to me throughout. When I first married his daughter, I wasn't as blessed as I am now to be making the money we're making. That I was a low-rent disc jockey who had gone from town to town. A lot of potential, but never stayed anywhere long enough. So there was always a job that I thought was better. Always a job that paid me more money, a job at a better station. And I had bad credit and all the stuff that goes along with. And I remember when I first met him, one of the first things after I got married, I had to borrow money from the guy. And he gave it to me. He said, "I've got no problem. Here you go, but pay me back." Mm-hmm. And we did pay him back. And he paid me back in so many more ways than that. But he was such a good teacher for me about life, such a better teacher. I wonder how different I would have turned out if I would have had a guy like Les the first 22 years of my life. That's how great a man he was. So, that is what I have to say about that, about Les Wright.
Well, that's a nice tribute to him.
Said.
And I know that the family probably appreciates that. That's terrific. And, you know, and bon voyage. You're in a better place, Les, and we all were very fond of you on the show.
We miss you, Les.
I know he is. And I was mentioning, the one last thing that I'll say about Les was that I was mentioning to Frieda that one of the things we have to go to over the next couple of weeks is the thing that's going to be this weekend, and part of it's going to be during a football game. And she said, "Well, I'm sure Dad wouldn't mind if you brought a portable TV.
He loved the game.
And watched." You know, this was before the Packers had lost.
I'm glad to see with everything that you were taking care of that you were able to keep a little of your focus on your passion.
Yeah.
On football.
On football. And she said, "I'm sure he wouldn't have minded." That was another great thing, that Les loved football. He was a Redskins season ticket holder for, Jesus, I don't know, 30 years, something like that. And when he was able, he never missed a game. And anyway, he's a great guy. And besides that, and that was a lot of the vacation, I do have some other stuff, some stuff of a lighter variety to discuss with you. A lot of it, though, ends up getting back to Les. I'm going to try to keep it upbeat from here on out. But a lot of the stuff that I have to tell you from the vacation, all in some way has to do with Les. Whether it's my wife is just, you know, she's all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and understandably, just calling me freaking dim, using the real word,
effing dim.
Yeah, just screaming at me the other day, the thought about the inevitable move in.
Oh, yeah.
Of Big Frieda.
Ah!
Which, it's going to happen. Tell you about all of that and some other stuff with my kid and my, you know, in the middle of...
You know, I selfishly, you know, and I know that you you guys have planned this probably for a long time, that, you know, when the time came that Big Frieda would move in for you, and I don't know how you feel personally or whether you want to discuss it or not, but I will tell you, that for the show, I see nothing but good things for this arrangement.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
We can discuss it after the break.
Very good. No problem at all.
After the break.
No problem. Welcome, welcome, Big Freedom.
Shut up.
Okay.
After the break.
All right.
And my brother. That's the only other thing. I got some stuff about my kid, some stuff about our holidays, some stuff about New Year's, and my brother is always newsmaking during the holiday.
That's exciting.
That's all I will say about that. So, God bless you, Les, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
What did I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sweeter than Vince Lombardi's caramelized scrotum. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm a Niners fan, too.
Nice going, Packers. Good job.
Your Packers, my Giants.
Good effort.
Not too good.
Good effort Saturday night. Way to go.
A lot of blowouts.
Douchebags. Okay.
No!
For football. Vacation. We did have our longest ever vacation.
No.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Come on now.
Which was extended because of, you know, the stuff I just told you. But right. I don't think there's ever been a time we've had that much time off. And
I've never spent that much time alone.
I don't know. I don't know if all of this stuff with my father-in-law hadn't happened. I really don't know what it would be like to experience that much time with just my family. Yeah. So I guess that's the silver lining in all this, that I don't really have a lot of, you know, I always come back with great stories. I don't have a lot of them. A couple of reasons. First, my kid wasn't around. We let Bart go with another family that we know and like very much, go on a cruise.
Costa Rican family, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're using Bart as our mule to bring Buzz back some great weed.
Thanks, Don.
He's got the same haircut as Johnny Depp now, right?
So he's going off with them. I mean, this kid, you would think it's his last Christmas at home. I guess, although he'll be coming back. Even after
they always
college.
Come back. They come back, you know what? Sometimes well into their 50s.
But he was not broken up at all about the fact that he was not going to be with us on Christmas Day.
Hmm.
That he was going to be at sea on this cruise ship with another family.
So he was on a cruise ship on Christmas?
Yeah.
Wow.
He left a couple of days before Christmas and didn't arrive back until a couple of days ago.
I could have waved at him on South Beach.
Actually, Mike, the boat left out of Houston.
Oh, Houston.
And went to the Panama Canal.
Oh, wow.
Of all places.
Well, he was going to Costa Rica.
So he is, he's gone, you know, and then we were going back and forth about this whole thing with my father-in-law. Should we email him and tell him? Because there was an email site on the boat, and then we thought, no, we shouldn't tell him. And then when we picked him up at the airport, he was pissed at us that we didn't tell him, and
mm-hmm.
we thought, well, you know, God, what could you have done on the boat?
Right.
You could have done anything. You just would have felt awful. It would have ruined your vacation. So it was really just Frida and I for a big piece of this vacation, and I still don't know what it's going to be like
when you have, like, real downtime where you're not dealing with family situations.
Correct, because we had all this other stuff going on that was obviously diverting our attention. One reason that we had taken off, the day that we took off, it was weird. We took off on a Wednesday, and we could have worked out the rest of the week. I had a back procedure done the following day, that Thursday. I went into the doctor's office and did this thing on my back, and my back is feeling much better.
Good.
And the one good thing about there's so many silver linings to this thing with Les is that for whatever reason, well, I started a diet before my father-in-law passed away, but having somebody die, that really knocks your appetite out.
Yeah.
And I have been doing well on my diet.
Not me.
But Since then,
When I've lost people in my family, I've eaten more.
Some people do that.
And even then, now remember, before we went off on vacation, I had that. And incidentally, that Pakistani doctor and the doctor who I think they should be profiling.
There is a reason for your problem.
Yeah, the guy who said to me, it wasn't the fact that I was hit by a car.
It is your weight.
That I was too fat. That's why my back was screwed up. Anyway, he's the guy who gave me the ultimatum to lose 30 pounds by January 28th. Well, as you look at me now, I have lost, and I count, 21 pounds.
So you have 9 more to go before you can have your procedure done.
Yeah, so I got about 12 more to go.
And then you can start eating again.
No, see, now I've turned that corner.
Yes. You've lost a lot of weight over the years.
I'm like
more
Oprah.
Than I have.
I'm like Oprah. I'm slim and I'm fat and I'm slim and I'm fat. Well, now I'm getting slim again. So, and the motivation of this is the more weight I lose between now and the 28th,
right,
the easier this procedure is going to be.
Good. Okay.
This back thing. So I'm motivated to.
So what if you, like, you know, got sick yourself and went down to like 80 pounds? Would it be?
Be fantastic.
They probably wouldn't even have to do the procedure.
Right. So if I got AIDS or something, well, I'd be set.
Yeah, I was curious because I was saying, are you drinking? And you said, no, you had a couple of glasses of champagne. And,
that's it, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and I rolled my eyes. I've been there before. I'll just sit there and wait till you come back.
Just think about what I just said. I just said if I had AIDS, I'd be set.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, like that'd be great.
You'd be fine. You wouldn't have to worry about that other procedure.
I'd be losing so much weight, I wouldn't have to worry about my back.
He'd probably just be able to, like, shove your back, and it would just... The whole thing would cave in.
So anyway, it's good motivation, this thing with getting surgery to lose weight. Mm-hmm. You know, with them saying, the more weight I lose, the easier the surgery is going
to
be.
Yeah, you almost slipped there and said, surgery to lose weight, Al Roker.
No.
You didn't do something on the holiday, did you?
Negative, my friend. This has been done the old-fashioned way, those goddamn shakes. And I am ready, seriously, to shoot my TV out like Elvis. The next time I see someone hold up a can of Slim Fast and say... Rich and chocolatey, just like an ice cream shop. My ass. That's what Slim Fast tastes like.
Yeah.
Tastes like BM. it's not good. It doesn't taste great.
It's not BM, but it's a tad chalky.
That's what I've been having these EAS shakes and then one meal a day. So anyway.
Is an EAS shake the kind you make yourself?
Yeah.
See, that's you ought to just get the kind that are pre-made.
Yeah.
Because the ones you make yourself always taste like BM.
Even Slim Fast tastes like BM, though.
But it's much better mixed BM.
It's blended.
It's blended better.
So enough about the diet. We got New Year's Eve, and now we're in a real pickle about what to do with New Year's Eve. Because we had plans before all of this happened, my father-in-law, we had plans to get together on New Year's Eve with Tammy, who works here at the radio station, Tammy, and Jersey Joe, her husband.
Right.
Well, we had to cancel those plans because this whole thing with my father-in-law happened. And I said to my wife, you know, your mom shouldn't be alone on New Year's Eve. Let's take your mom out. So we took... my mother-in-law out to Secrets in Ocean City, which is a pretty crazy friggin' nightclub.
That's a heavy duty. That's a big evening.
And they got kind of bombed, and you know, well worth it. They both deserve the fact.
That's good. I'm glad that they were
get a little bombed and put the crazy hats on.
Yeah.
And it was about I don't know, sometime before the animatronic Dick Clark said it was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We were all standing on the. On the balcony, we got a new place in Ocean City because the other places, you know, was hit by a tornado.
Right.
So we got a new place in Ocean City, and part of the reason we got this place was that it has a floor that could be for, you know, we've been talking in theoretical terms for grandma for whenever the time.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's kind of a...
Yeah, it's three-level thing.
All right.
So we're at this... new place, and it suddenly struck me that we're standing here on New Year's Eve, and all of a sudden, light bulb goes off and says, oh my God. You know, this, and it was his last, one of the last things he said to me was,
take care of her.
Take care of my Frida and take care of mom.
So this would be down at the beach.
What, or here.
A good place.
This is what is still, these are the murky waters that I have to work my way through now.
That's what the beginning part of 2003 will be, you working out those situations.
Because I did, in fact, put my arm around my mother-in-law on New Year's Eve and told her how much I loved her, and then said, you know, you are always welcome with us, and we have
a place for you.
Well, she stayed with you so many times that it's it wouldn't be anything that unusual, would it?
Well, if, Mike, a lot depends. It depends if she sells the house.
Right.
If she sells the house.
Hey, it's another check mark on your income tax.
If she sells the house, then I got her living with me. You know what I mean? And I got her living with me all the time.
Would she live down at the beach or live here?
I believe both.
Okay.
She would go where you go.
Well, at least you got a place where it's not like, you know, it would be 24/7, and I'm sure she wouldn't want that either. She'd want to be...
I don't know.
She'd probably want to be...
I really don't know. I, for obvious reasons, I have not broached that subject. I've simply said, yeah.
I think it's wonderfully traditional.
All I know is it's... Now it's hanging over me.
Like the wall.
The impending move-in of my mother-in-law.
You know, it's going to be kind of nice because she's going to kind of replace your son.
Shut up.
Your son will go off to college and your mother-in-law will move in.
Having my mother-in-law live with us. I don't know. I don't know when this is going to happen, if this is going to happen.
I smell a sitcom.
Yeah, man. I do, right here. Afternoons, 3 to 7.
I don't
got
know.
It right, Rob.
I don't know. She's got a... Here's what I have working for me.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Not that I'm selfish at all, but you have spoken about your new place. It's kind of closer to the water and stuff like that. If... You know, if like you were ever going to loan it to a friend for a weekend or something like that, would you be able to coordinate her being with you back here, or will she be there? You know what I mean?
Like if you wanted to use the beach,
if I wanted to roll down there with a friend, you know, or something like that.
Here's the deal.
Yeah,
they're in this place in Ocean City. There's the grandma floor.
Okay, is the grandma floor
the bottom floor?
Now is that the guest floor? Like when you're gonna like let somebody use that floor?
Yeah.
And then you've got your... Because that's the way you kind of...
It's like a three-level deal.
Does it have a lock on it?
So she was down there on New Year's Eve, you know, scoping the area out. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it had always been kind of a pipe dream. Like, yeah, you know, eventually, if you want to, you'll get... Well, now she was...
Right.
New Year's Eve, man, she's down there like a dog sniffing out her territory. She's, she's down there looking around and going, oh, so this will be my room. It's just... Is this my bathroom? And I don't know if the closet space is big enough or not. Can I use the closet across the hall?
Wow.
And I mean, I'm just...
Well,
all
good for her. You know, I'm sure that gave her a lot of comfort and that made her feel good. And, you know she's there if she wants to be.
I know. Here's what I do.
You're out of that equation. I got news for you.
Here's what I think I got going on my side to buy myself a little time.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mother-in-law is a pack rat.
Right.
And I know that her house is loaded with junk that she has refused over years and years and years to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
If she's ever going to sell that house and move in with us, she has to start going through those boxes of junk and doing something with that junk.
And she doesn't want to do that.
I don't think she does.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I don't think she does.
But in the past, hasn't the family volunteered to clean out her garage and she stopped them?
Rob, her garage is now halfway cleaned out.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, she now puts her car... In the garage.
Oh, no.
For the first time ever.
Well, it depends. You're going to have to wait and see what happens with that, but sounds to me like you got three places for her to live.
Let me check in with the ditch.
The ditch?
Frida.
Hello?
Hey, there she is.
Oh, hi, Shuggy. I was up getting my car out of the ditch.
See? She ran into a ditch today.
Oh, no.
You ran into a ditch?
Well, I've moved off the trash truck was trying to get by, and I gave him room, and I slid and couldn't get back on the road.
Snowing like hell in Washington, D.C.
Cars in the ditch. So, here's the question about your mom.
Yes?
I was just talking about how I think it might be a while because she's got a... You know, get all the stuff.
She's
packed.
Sentimental. She is not a pack rat. Don't even say that. What do you? You know, don't upset her. Don't hurt her feelings. You know, after you were just so sweet.
How am I hurting her feelings?
Because she's not a pack rat. She's sentimental. She does, but she is sort. She has a lot to sort through. Yes.
All right. So, ballpark on that.
What?
Give me an over/under if you think she'll do it in the next year.
No, because she's in no rush. She's in no rush. She likes her home.
It's
she's
smart.
Happy. She's glad to know that she has a place if she needs it. But no, I don't think so.
All right, and then of course associated with this, with the tension of this, there were, as I counted on our vacation with Frida and I, two separate, real balls to the wall blowouts that we had, the two of us. One of them. before Frida's dad passed, so this had nothing to do with...
No, that was just stress of moving. You couldn't do anything because your back hurt, and Christmas, and a bunch
of... She says to me, do you want to go with me? We got to buy... Here's what we had to buy. We had to buy sheets and towels. No problem. I say, I'll be glad to take you. Let's get in the car. I'll take you to the store. I drop her off at the store. I go to a store that I want to go to. I come back.
Wait a minute. Let your buddies guess what kind of store you wanted to go to.
Nike Outlet.
Good guess, but...
Wrong. Cigar store.
Okay. You got
so,
it.
I ask you not, 1 hour in this store, and when I finally get in there with her, and I'm amazed she's not done, there's a gigantic stack of crap by the cash register where she just keeps collecting stuff and bringing it over and not checking out.
Crap. Also known as towels and sheets.
And she says to me...
Not good stuff like cigars. Not stuff you have to have.
Honey,
not necessities. They were towels and sheets, cigars.
This was the point of the whole thing. You're buying towels. Towels to wipe yourself with after you're coming out of the shower. And sheets to put on a bed. I mean, she's walking around this store, and she goes...
How about sheets with pictures of cigars?
I don't know how many times I heard my wife say... I don't know how many times I heard her say, just one more thing and we'll be out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Because as she would go down the aisle...
Were you stocking your new place?
Yes,
is that what you were doing?
And when I shop with my husband, it's like the old game Supermarket Sweep. I have to run through the aisles, throwing things in my basket as quickly
I give you an hour. And you know what? I'm not the only guy that feels like this. We were in a furniture store on Saturday, my wife and I,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy, God bless him, there was this guy who went ballistic because he had this carpet, this like throw rug, whatever he wanted to buy.
A remnant?
No, I don't think so. He was holding it as he had it rolled up and was
okay, so it's just,
on
yeah,
his
it's
shoulder.
It's a throw rug.
Area rug.
On his shoulder.
An area
and,
rug. I love retail terminology.
The guy who was working the cash register is one of these guys who... Here's the setup in this store. This is off topic, but just let me throw this out there. The guy's working. He has four people who have items in their hands that they want to buy. I had a little table. The guy behind me had a lamp in his hand. This guy had this rug over his shoulder. We're all standing in line waiting to buy these items and take them to our cars. Meanwhile, there's some old broad that's coming up and going, the chair up front, does that come in all vinyl or does that come in leather? The guy's going, just a moment, I'd be glad to look that up for you. And he's on the computer looking this up. Meanwhile, all the other people are waiting in line. Finally, the guy who's got the rug on his shoulder, he gets pissed and he screams out, does anybody want my money?
Yeah.
I just want to pay. Do you want my money? The guy with the earring behind the counter who looks up and says,
I know you were adopted by, I almost called you Bart, Tweety, but, you know, I almost felt like that guy was somehow related to you.
Oh, man, I'd love it. I'd love to be in a line when there was a guy like that that I could support.
Did I
be in that line when it wasn't me.
Did I love that? So then my follow-up to him seemed, you know, by contrast, mine was mild because I just said to the guy, hey, I got something here. I want to buy it. How about it?
I know. And you know what? That guy who was the a-hole that was not you, he ended up butting in line in front of us then.
Yeah, well, and I say more power to him. I wasn't mad.
No, because he got service, and we should have been before him.
No, you gave him, he gave you entertainment.
But honey, I love that. I love the fact that this guy got so pissed, and I was so pissed when my wife was in this linen store. Because it's such a simple thing. You buy towels. You buy towels. You want brown towels.
Brown?
Across
the wall. Oh, those are the best color for towels.
Across the wall, they have...
five brown towels, but go ahead.
Yes, you did.
Oh, for Bart, that's right.
There are stacks of brown towels. Now, here's how you do it. For future reference, you say, I need four towels. You go over where the brown towels are, and you go,
brown towel.
Two, three, four.
There's a big difference in towels, baby doll.
You don't
touch them and feel the texture and hold them up,
yeah,
and then walk to the other side of the store to hold the brown towel against the towel that's got like a little palm tree on it, and then walk all the way back to the other side of the store.
You know, if I may, I can offer some insight on this towel business.
Yes.
Because this towel business is when we were doing our New York apartment thing, and I kind of laid it in the lap of this lady from Bed Bath & Beyond, and we'd get the cheap towels, just go ahead, and doesn't matter what kind of towels you get. And then I got out of the shower after I washed them. Now, I washed the towels.
Oh, your blue towels?
My blue towels, and I washed them, and then got out of the shower and looked at my whole body, which was covered with blue fuzz.
Yeah.
Which meant I didn't get the top-of-the-line towels.
Right. So, obviously, I got so mad at her.
I know,
she was over an hour in this damned store to buy towels.
Sugar, you know, to begin with, it's not my idea of a great time. I am not...
You seem to be loving it.
I like having towels.
You thrived on it, so...
You know, you should... I'll tell you what.
Let's fast forward
now. We can only use what we buy ourselves. So... I will be totally empty of cigars, and you will have no towels, no sheets, no...
Everything with you always works back to cigars.
You'll be drying off with Connecticut shade grown.
And I don't
You'll be drying off with cigar bands. You'll have a little one.
We have this giant fight in the middle of the store.
Because it's not my idea of a good time, but somebody's got to do it.
And even the bronze who are working in the store are looking at my wife like she's nuts, because she's making a pile.
Like I'm nuts because I am running around that store throwing things on a growing heap.
1 hour to buy towels. Anyway, it set me off. We did no more shopping together until... When did we go to Crate and Barrel? Was that Saturday? I did. This was 2 days ago. Now, this is after Frida's dad has passed away. And I understand that, and I was sad and still am, and have moments of being really down.
Wait a minute, Barty's on the other line. I got to make sure he's okay on the road.
All right. So she was going through whatever she's going through. We're on our way to Crate and Barrel. And we're
Bob gave it a yay.
Crate
and Barrel.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm only there. I'm only there because less time. That's the only reason I'm going.
Would you like a wine glass with your chair?
You know, normally you can't get me. They got naked girls modeling the furniture, and I wouldn't go in Crate and Barrel on a dare.
I went there when I was doing the New York apartment thing.
Crate and Barrel, Pier 1, all that bull ass. I don't want that junk, but I'm there for her. So we're driving up, and I keep saying to her, "What is it?" She's
nothing.
She's not saying anything. She's nothing.
They do that.
So then as we pulled up in front of the place, we got a parking spot.
Okay, what lies did you tell
us? I'm just talking about Crate and Barrel.
He was talking about how much he enjoys Crate and Barrel.
So we pull up, and then she says, "Let's go." And I said, here's what I said. Hey, if your mood doesn't change, you're going to lose a companion here. Right?
Yeah,
meaning I'm going to Crate and Barrel. Now, keep in mind, at no time during the drive to Crate and Barrel has she ever articulated to me or bothered to say to me, I'm feeling badly about my dad.
I'm thinking about
my dad.
I don't have to say that if I'm just quiet. I wasn't doing anything but sitting quietly.
I say this to her. Hey, you better pick it up if you want to have a companion with you, because you don't. I'm not a Crate and Barrel guy. What did I say?
You said, seriously, if your mood doesn't improve, you're going to lose a companion.
Right, because I'm not going to waste my time at Crate and Barrel. I don't know what's going. I don't know what's going through your mind.
Yeah, okay.
She gets in the car.
Okay, let me give you.
At the top of her lungs, and she uses the F word. She says, "You are so F-U-I-N-G dim." She says, "You are so effing dim."
No, I didn't say effing dim. I just said dim. And I'll tell you how I remember. Because I said, "You are dim," because you said, "I'm damn what?" I said, "No, you're not damn. You're dim."
No, you said, "You're effing dim." And I said, I'm screaming at her in the car. I'm going, "I am here for you. All you have to do is articulate to me what mood you're in right now. What's going on?"
I don't want to. Do I have to pass you memos every time I have a mood? Can't I just be quiet?
So because I was trying to be responsive, I am, and you did drop the F-bomb, and I know you did because I said to you, would you stop dropping the F-bomb? And you said to me, that's funny, you telling me to stop using the F-word, because I use the F-word all the time. I know you said I'm effing
dumb. That's like Tony Soprano saying to Carm.
So we have this gigantic
you
fight.
You are so effing dim.
We have this gigantic fight in the car in front of Crate and Barrel. And you know,
were the windows rolled up?
Yeah, but here's
so anybody walking by would have heard the.
Yeah, and here's the move. Here's the move that she pulls on me. When we get there, we get out of the car before she calls me effing dim. We get out of the car and I'm walking up towards the front door, and she's just standing down at the corner by herself. So I'm at the door of Crate and Barrel, and there are people coming in and out, and I'm holding the door, and she's all the way down there.
Yeah, what was I doing down there, darling?
Again, don't know.
Well, because you walked, I was crying. But go ahead with your story.
Now, again, let me just say, I would be there to comfort you if I knew what the F was going on Saturday.
Comfort. I just wanted to be with you and be a little quiet and be reflective. I didn't want someone telling me to pick it up or I'd lose a companion.
and all I wanted.
Thank you for your sympathy.
All I wanted in that moment on Saturday was to specify why it is that you were being the way that you were. Because it could have been a variety of reasons that go beyond this tragedy with your dad.
You wouldn't just say, maybe she's quiet because her dad died a week ago. Well, just let her have some space. And let her be quiet.
No, it was my fault for asking, for saying what's going on.
Fault. It didn't become your fault till you told me I was going to lose a companion if I didn't pick it up.
Because I hate going to Crate and Barrel anyway. I only went with you to be nice.
Okay. Yeah, that was nice. So if I entertain you, you will be with me. Thank you.
We're going to Crate and Barrel.
And that was it. That's in a nutshell. That's all that happened on the vacation. I mean. Although I will tell you this, that she did say to me yesterday, even with all the stuff that happened, she thinks it was a very successful vacation. Right? Didn't you say that to me yesterday?
We are still married. I think that was a long time.
Yeah, you
a lot of togetherness. And we don't even have the BART buffer anymore.
And you two weathered a family tragedy, and that's tough to do.
Yeah.
We not only had the sadness, we had a move, we had my husband in pain, we had my husband on a diet, drinking Slim Fast, which will damage anybody's mood, and we had Christmas all rolled into one too long vacation.
Of course, statistics will bear out that marital strife occurs several months after a major family trauma. I mean, I just have read a lot of those articles.
Thanks, Mike.
What do I know?
I'm in it for the long haul. Listen, when a guy says to you, when a guy's getting her check out and he says, take care of Frida, take care of mom.
You, no matter what she does to you now.
Right. You got me. All right, baby, I love you.
All right. Well, there is a U.S. mail if you want to take care of me that way.
I don't get it.
Well, I do, Don. I get that joke that she just made.
Yeah.
Actually, Frida, it's a direct wire transfer.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
All right, there you go.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Money.
Are you sure you got what he meant when he said take care of?
I don't think he meant take care of her like that, like kill her.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. All right, I love you, sweetie.
All right, I love you, too.
All right, I'll see you later.
Bye.
So anyway, she's friggin' nuts during this whole vacation. She's out of her friggin' mind about this. And I don't, one day she's happy, the next day she's sad. I don't know how to react each day to whatever the mood is.
That'll probably last a while.
I imagine it will. And then you've got my kid on top of that. Let me break right here, because I can wind this all up in the next break. With some good news about my son, some news about his exploits, and then the big news from my brother. Big Christmas news from my brother Jimmy.
Something major happening in his life?
Well, let me just say I got this call on the way to the funeral home on the day that we're having the first memorial service for my father-in-law.
Okay.
And it involved my brother, and it involved the prospect of him perhaps going to jail.
Oh, dear.
So I will share that with you.
Oh, right. Dear.
Share that with you when we...
Hey, man.
When we come... He's fine, though. Right back.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
What brings you here?
I heard about your trouble with Fatu. Thought I'd come to lend a hand.
Thank you, my son.
He's Fatu. He's my own student. The five city monks, they've all been killed. It was Fatu and his gang.
Where's Fatu now?
Well, I'm not really sure. What'll we do?
As for Fatu, deal with him as you think fit.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's the call you're going to speak to.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
Hi, George.
They will put the boom, boom, booty on ye. Don and Mike.
Joe's the guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
Joe. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey, hi.
Hey, listen, first of all, I knew there was a reason why I called out sick today. And I was listening to the Return of the Don and Mike Show. Congratulations on your vacation. Listen.
Congratulations on our vacation.
Never been congratulated on a vacation.
It's necessary evil for us, the fans, and Godspeed on your vacation because everybody needs it. It only makes the show better. Listen, I wanted to know, I'm from the YSP listening area, and so I got a lot of the... This stuff was first for me the second time around, and I got to hear Dolores from Rob Spiewak, and a couple of great installations of Dolores, and I was just wondering, how was Rob's New Year with carrying the baby?
Well,
look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, would you?
We'll find out, sir, but generally here's how it works out. We go on vacation. I take the first couple of breaks to talk about my vacation, and then Mike takes a couple of breaks to talk about his.
Whatever.
And then Rob will get the last part of it, and we never ask Buzz about his vacation.
Pass right over.
We pass right over Buzz.
Well, yeah, we did. We used to spend a great deal of time on it, and then how many vacations in or around Kansas can you take?
You know,
or Kansas comes to you.
Or Kansas comes to you. It's the same rhythm, though.
Yes. Christmas with the kiddies. And that's K-I-T-T-I-E-S.
That's right.
But either way, Mike, let me be the first in 2003 to say to you, congratulations on your vacation.
Don, right back at you. Congratulations on the vacation. I understand the company is going to be releasing a press release congratulating us on our vacation schedule.
I don't even want to discuss that right now.
It takes a lot of gumption to pull off a three-week holiday, and you guys did it well, and I congratulate you.
Thank you, Rob.
I say bravo.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Didn't you take much of the 3 weeks off as well?
All of it, Don, but I didn't do it as well as you.
Congratulations.
Well, way to rack up the miles on those free cars those dealers give you on the weekend.
I just jack them up and leave them running.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Radio Gods.
Hi there.
You know what? I was calling to say hello, welcome back, and Happy New Year to you.
Congratulations. All right, thank you.
Yeah, whatever.
I also wanted to say to Rob, thank you for calling us BM Eaters on the best of on Thursday and Friday.
All right, welcome. Adios.
Adios.
Incidentally, I know I've said that twice now, but that's my new thing. Even though it's an old phrase.
Whatever.
I love it so much.
You're bringing it back?
It brings so much joy to me.
You're going
to
make it new?
That I'm going to make it new for our listening audience. And it really does apply to me. In more situations than I can count.
I'll just save that for the next break.
Whatever.
I said I did have news about my kid.
Yes.
And I do.
Good.
The news is that he has already been accepted to the college of his choice. Clemson.
Well, that's it.
All right.
He's already been at the party.
He's already been accepted. We got the letter before Christmas.
He's a tiger.
Before he left to go be with another family for Christmas, we received the acceptance letter that you're gonna learn that the South didn't really lose the war.
No, they just chose to quit.
Really, when Fred and I went down to Clemson to look at the college with Bart, one of the kids said,
you know, anytime we get any near, you see him, he just gleefully attacking the microphone.
That is something that apparently in the grade school, at least at the grade school level in South Carolina, they're still teaching to this day.
Well, they're the ones that want to keep that flag.
The South didn't lose the war. They just decided to stop fighting.
It was the gentlemanly thing to do during the War of Northern Aggression.
Oh, stop it. Go sit down.
Shut up, Rob. So this is like the best thing and the worst thing that could have happened.
Pretty strange you're wearing gray stripes today, Rob.
Because I'm very happy that my son has been accepted into the college of his choice.
Yes.
Now, is he definitely going to go there, or is he waiting to hear from other schools?
Well, he's going to wait and get some other stuff. But the thing is, now that he's got this in his back pocket,
right?
I know the mindset. The mindset now is...
Party hardy.
That it's just vacation for the rest of the school year.
Don't they have a little caveat in any acceptance letter to a...
Negative.
I've always... I mean, every acceptance letter I ever got was they say, you know, if you coast in your senior year and you... Really?
They want him now. They got the thing that's...
He can't screw up. He can't. Because if he technically flunked out of high school, well, he wouldn't be able to graduate.
He will not technically flunk out since he's already gone through more than half of his senior year.
So he can't possibly... So what you're saying to me is that he doesn't need to attend his senior year of school. Is that what you're saying? Is it that good for him?
Even if he was to tank the next 4 months, he's still... Technically, his grades are so high, he would not flunk.
Is he going? He's going into second semester senior year, right? Is that what he's going? I mean, he's a senior now.
Yeah.
Just the home stretch we're talking about.
He graduates in May.
Yeah. Oh, he's done.
Yeah, I know.
Tell him to come over.
That's what I'm saying. He's done. So now
I thought for some reason in my mind I thought he was in his junior year.
No, he's a senior.
So he got like super early acceptance or something.
So he got early acceptance to Clemson. He might be going to another school, but he's got that one. And now there are a couple of other developments. He's got the gal pal who is over at the house all the time now.
Hmm.
And I'm seeing this in front of me.
No good can come of that.
I'm having to do the things that I hate doing, like he'll call up and say, hey, we're not going to go out tonight. We're going to go to Blockbuster and get a movie. Do you and Mom want us to pick you up a movie for you guys to watch? I go, no, that's fine. Well, the next thing I know, they're downstairs. They're in the basement. They're watching the movie, and I'm constantly going downstairs, and I'm making a lot of noise as I go down the stairs.
Good for you.
So I give them some warning, and I open the door, and they don't even hide the fact. Now, at least at this point, they're not doing anything, but they're laying on the couch. You know, she's nestled in his arm. He's got his arm around her. And I say, I like to keep this door open. I feel better if the door to the basement is left open.
Would every dad will be just like you?
And I leave the door open, and without fail, by the next time I go down, somehow the door has mysteriously become closed again.
How long have they been dating?
A long time, over a year. She's a very nice girl. As a matter of fact, I'm so fond of her that I yell at her now the same way I yell at my kid. And by yell, I don't mean yell, but it's, you know, my kid is such a dope sometimes. It's 10 degrees, we got 5 inches of snow, wearing shorts, getting ready to go out and go to the movies or something, wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or wearing, like, these Adidas pants, you know, these, like, tearaway basketball pants
and
a
sweat.
T-shirt. And I say, put on a jacket. And the answer is always, my jacket's in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his girlfriend walks around all the time, just like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, one of them things. Not as whorish, but, you know, she's...
Daddy notices?
she's a handsome woman. And I find myself now saying to her, where's your jacket?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saturday night they were going out. I said, where's your jacket? She said, in my car. I said, I want you to put that jacket on. And I realized, parenting another kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not only badgering and parenting my kid, I'm badgering and parenting my kid's girlfriend. So that's all good about Bart. He was on this cruise ship for a week and a half. All I know is that one day we got the report from the family that he went with, the mom and dad that he went with, our friends Tom and Carolyn. One day he did not wake up until 5 in the afternoon. At one point outside the door, it was Bart and their son, who's about Bart's age. Outside their cabin door, there were 8 trays where the food had been piling up.
Wow.
Where they were just ordering room service constantly. On New Year's Eve, now, we put him on this boat. And we said to him, is it the boy?
Yeah, there's a call for you.
Okay, here he is now. Swinger, James Bond Jr.
Why do you say that?
Well, I'm just talking about on the cruise, about how New Year's Eve, he's on this cruise. We really have been busting his balls about the fact that he owes us so much money. And the Christmas present, besides him going on this cruise, the other Christmas present we gave him was, we said, your debt to us is paid. You owed us like a couple hundred bucks, something like that.
Wow. Your room, your meals, cop.
And I said, that's it. But from now on, from January on, really, you got to pay your own bills. That this is where the gravy train ends. Well, as it turns out, James Bond had to rent a tuxedo on New Year's Eve when he was on the boat.
I have to look good on the formal night.
Because he can't wear the jacket that we
bought.
Well,
you get only the most reasonable rates for the tuxes that they have on the boat.
Yeah. $75.
Yeah.
$75 on the boat. And
hey, it's not like I'm gonna pay for it with the winnings I have.
Is that what you're calling about?
No. All right. I'm saying I'm gonna pay for it.
Did he win the pool?
Oh, he won on
fantasy football?
Yes, he did.
Congratulations, and congratulations on Clemson.
Thank you.
He absolutely did.
And also, he was a little more gracious about it than Mr. Broyhill, who we had a run-in with over the holiday, who was never really familiar with our rules, and said, since when can we start four running backs? And I said, well, all season.
I agree with him on that. I had never been told that.
Well, I invited everybody to look at the rules at the beginning of the season, and then Charlie just hung up on me.
Didn't matter to me. Did you guys win your other pool?
Yeah, Rob and I, as a matter of fact, we ended up in the tie with the Puerto Rican.
Oh.
So there was a, the Puerto Rican and I will split the money, and I will split that winning with Rob as the deal.
Filthy. Very good. For everybody.
Congratulations. Yeah.
So
good job.
Rob and I still got filthy rich on that Survivor pool.
Congratulations.
And Bart won all
just
the
doling
money.
Out congratulations to everybody, you know, or F all of you.
Whatever.
Standings in the end, the breakdown-wise, it breaks down, like, your schedule and how many points you got in fantasy?
Yeah.
You were ahead of my dad.
But Bart,
well, thank you, Bart. That's nice of you to
mention. But Bart, it was only me who brought you into this world, and I'd like to point out that my final record was better than Uncle Mike's final record.
Dad, do you want to talk about the game I played against you?
Bart, I'm talking about in the fantasy league.
I know. In the fantasy league.
You're pathetic.
I know.
You are pathetic. I swear to God.
In the fantasy league, in one of the last weeks, I dropped a game for him.
You actually checked to see if your record was better than mine, even though we didn't bet anything?
I did, yeah.
And it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
By one game. Listen,
I didn't drop my game.
Mr. New Year's Eve, why did you call?
Because I heard you bad-mouthing me and my girlfriend.
I wasn't bad-mouthing the two of you at all. I was saying what a nice girl she is and how it's a constant battle to keep the...
Bad competitor, Christina Aguilera.
That it's a constant battle to keep the door down in the basement open. That you always want the door closed.
The door closes on its own.
All right, bud. I'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
I love you. Goodbye.
You don't challenge him, do you? You just bail out on him. You don't want to have that boy on
no,
the battle
no.
going on. He tires you out, doesn't he?
Well, here's the thing. Because, see, it's an unfair fight right now at this point in Bart's life. Because there's a large amount of things about him that I keep private.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to talk about.
However, the there are no rules with me. He can talk about anything he wants with
exactly,
me
right.
to bust my balls. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're at home, when he busts my balls,
yeah.
I bust his balls right back.
He's
there's
got
stuff
him.
I can talk about.
Right.
But he knows when he calls the show...
You have to keep certain things.
I want to keep his private life private so I don't mention some things, which is why he is becoming a more infrequent guest on the show.
Yeah.
In case he's listening, if he had better manners, perhaps I'd have him on a little more.
I understand.
But he just wants to call to bust balls.
Right.
And he's on the cruise ship, and he's got to rent this goddamn tuxedo. And he says, Dad, I had my first cigar. I had a Cuban cigar.
There you go.
On this deal. And I said, and at least, I want to say this about him. He's a good kid, and I love him, of course. At least he's honest with me. I said, was there any drinking on this cruise? And he said, only when we went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what happened when you went to Mexico? He said, "Dad, I wasn't as bad as everybody, but there were 11-year-old kids getting drunk."
Oh, my God.
We went to Mexico.
Oh, no.
So I let that one go.
No rules.
And one of the emails that we got from him while he was on board this cruise ship with Tom and Carolyn and their kids was that he had won money in the casino. So when he came back home, I said, "You're not old enough to gamble. You're not old enough to get into the casino." And he said, "When I got on the boat, they put on my little ID thing that I was 21.
Wow.
So I've not even bothered to ask what else he might have done.
If anyone's worried about the breaches of security in our airports, they should perhaps direct their attention to today's modern cruise ships.
So
where anyone can just fill out the form and come in as whoever you want.
He had all privileges, all rights and privileges that go with being a 21-year-old,
wow,
even though he won't be 18 until next March.
Abdul Ahmed gets off the cruise ship. How are you, Mr. Johnson?
Rather this March. So anyway, that was Bart and the good news about college. So all of that is happening. We've got the thing with my father-in-law happening. We're driving to the funeral home. I get a call on the cell phone, and it's my brother. And my brother says, "Hey, dude." Actually, it was a voicemail that I picked up because I didn't feel like taking any calls, and it said out of area. So I picked the voicemail up, and it was him going, "Hey, dude, I really got to talk to you bad. You got to call me right now, man. Goodbye, dude." So we go, "Oh, all right, it's like the last thing I need, but I'll call him up. I'm driving to the funeral home." And here is the long story short. Congratulations. I'm an uncle again.
Wow.
Because my brother, the DNA test is back.
Uh-huh.
If he was the father?
From the paternity suit. And he indeed is the father of a 5-year-old boy.
How many kids does he have now? 3?
I don't know. This may be the third.
I think this is the third.
This might be the third.
That we know of.
Now,
he's got some good swimmers.
Now, the deal is, this is where it gets all Wisconsin-y and white trashy, that she came over to his house on Saturday night.
She bring a wheel of cheese?
And she said that she was going to take the kid to Mexico, that he was never going to see the kid.
Right.
And
well, he hadn't seen the kid on a regular basis.
No,
right?
I don't think he's ever seen the kid.
So, I mean, this was something where they broke up and he'd impregnated her during their brief visit?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. And they just got, I guess on Friday, they just got the results back,
mm-hmm,
that he's the dad.
Say hey, DNA.
So she comes over and they get into some type of fight.
Oh, dear.
And all I know is that it ends up with a police situation.
Oh, boy.
So,
bad boys, I'm, what you gonna do?
I am on the phone now with the police.
John Walsh.
This was after I've now gone through the thing on Sunday with all the family and friends for my father-in-law. I we're having a little get-together, and I say, "Oh, now I've got to handle this thing with my brother." Because the deal is, I love him, and I'll help him out of any jam. But if he's done something stupid, like gotten in a fight with a woman, I mean, like a real, you know, like an OJ fight.
Right.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he can rot in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the circumstances. All I know is this voicemail that I got.
Now, why are you talking to the cops?
Because I want to find out
what happened. Did he ask you to call the cops?
No. But I want to find out what's happened.
So you're just trying to find out the situation.
Right.
That's good.
Well, as it turns out, there is some type of a disturbance that's going on this Saturday night. And the neighbors have called the police because there's yelling and screaming going on.
Did he have his shirt on?
He probably had a wife beater on.
Huh.
His shirt off in the winter.
Would you like to guess? My brother, in fact, was wanted by the police. Would you like to guess the reason?
Why he was wanted?
It was a bench warrant out. Well, any guess? Think about it.
Parking ticket?
Very good, Buzz.
Is it a parking ticket?
It is. Who would like to guess how many parking tickets?
30.
Buzz.
I'll say 65.
Try 172.
Ouch. Oh, my.
So, apparently...
So, they came, they respond to the disturbance
there's,
call?
There's the brouhaha with the yelling and the screaming.
That's why the neighbors call the
with
police.
With the, you're the father, and we. I'm going to Mexico. No, you can't go to Mexico. I'm going to take your ass to court. And then the cops come, and the cops say, you guys got to shut up. And they say, let us see some ID. And then they flag his name.
You're the guy with how many tickets?
172. So...
What? If he hasn't seen the kid, what does he care whether she goes to Mexico?
He's undecided as to what he wants to do with the kid.
I heard a rumor that if they go to Mexico, the kid will start drinking really young.
This is my brother's dilemma. He doesn't
it all
know,
ties together.
Yes, it does.
He doesn't know if he wants to have this kid in his life or not. The mother is on welfare. Mm-hmm. And apparently, my brother has to go to court sometime this week. And he has to pay something like $35 a week that would be put into a trust fund. And if the mother ever comes back to collect the money, then my brother will get partial visitation rights. So all of that was the reason that they were arguing. That she's saying to him, you'll never see this kid.
Right.
He doesn't know if he wants to see the kid or not, but he's pissed because she's threatening to go to Mexico.
Was there ever a Jerry Springer producer that called during the middle of this?
Cops come over. So... Now I'm on the phone, and I won't say the Milwaukee suburb that he lives in, but I'm on the phone with the local jurisdiction. This is the Sunday when the Packers are losing to the Jets.
No.
I call the police station, and they say that, no, my brother's not being held. I said, oh, that's great news. Meanwhile, I hear in the background the football game. Now, I'm watching the game. I'm at my brother-in-law's house, and I'm on the deck on my cell phone. I'm watching the game through the sliding glass doors, and I see the Jets are killing the Packers.
Right.
The cop. Now, I'm calling the cops, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The cop says, oh, that's awful. I mean, he's not even talking to me. I'm asking about my brother. And I finally figured out that I hear the game and go, are you watching the game? Yeah. Oh, they took Brad out. Why are they putting Peterson in there? And I said, now, my brother, let's get back to my brother. Yeah. He had 172 outstanding parking tickets.
Oh, my God.
That's why there's the bench warrant. But we released him because, frankly, with New Year's coming up, we're going to need the jails. We're going to need the jails.
Yeah. The jail space.
So they let him out. They let him out. I don't even
Are
know.
They going to go collar him again, though, sometime?
I don't know. He's got a court date.
How the hell do you get 172 parking tickets in Wisconsin?
Ask my brother.
I thought there was, like... Open space there.
Ask my brother.
I mean, they effing hunt deer there.
I don't know. That's all I know is that he's fathered another child. The test came back. He's the dad.
My God.
He's got 172 parking tickets.
Has he thought about going to Mexico?
And his Cadillac is broken down.
He's got a Cadillac?
Yeah.
Oh, bonus.
He does.
What's he got, a DeVille?
I don't know what he has, Mike. I think he's got like an old Starsky and Hutch Huggy Bear type one.
There is no such thing.
What do you mean?
There's no such thing as a Cadillac that would be a Starsky and Hutch type one.
Well, no, like Huggy.
Like a Pimpmobile.
Huggy Bear had like a Huggy-mobile.
Well, it's either the DeVille or the Fleetwood Brougham.
I don't know which it is. Yeah. All I know is that's the update.
Can you tell you've touched on a subject that's near and dear to my heart, though?
Yes, I can.
Whatever.
Whatever. And that's it. That's all I got from vacation. That's all. And then, you know, the Packers meltdown Saturday night. Which was awful, which was just, I was absolutely beside myself Saturday night. I think all of the emotion that I had felt about my father-in-law and everything else over the last 2 weeks just kind of came out on Saturday night with just F-bombs left and F-bombs right and effing Vic and effing Barb, effing driver, effing Sherman. Why don't you throw the effing flag?
A lot of cussing during the playoffs this weekend.
The ball hit the guy on the effing head, you effing idiot. Why don't you effing go for it on effing fourth down? And my wife was nice enough to sit and watch the game with me. And finally I said to her, get out. You're bad luck.
Wow.
Uh-oh. You're the reason the Packers have lost this effing game.
That's bad. That's bad.
Get out of here. Yuck. Sucks ass. So that's it. What'd you do?
Whatever.
Okay, we'll find out in a second, because I know you did. You did do some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I had a real vacation.
Right, you had some.
I mean,
stuff.
I went away. I went to Florida for almost the entire time and had just, you know, fun. More fun than I can, it involves singing.
Well, Mike, let's hear about, and Mike, let me say.
Drumming.
Congratulations on your vacation.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And Christmas, which was, spent Christmas with three of my favorite people.
And they are?
Me, myself, and I.
We will be right back.
Whatever.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
The Don and Mike Show.
The important thing here is a f***ing bunch of motherfuckers we don't even know calling us assholes on the internet to teenagers and guys who can't even get laid. Putting a stop to that is the most important thing we could ever do.
Complicated in its simplicity, the Don and Mike Show.
Everyone, welcome back. Today is our producer, our longtime producer.
But in the course of battle, peace-loving Charlie ended up a casualty. He lost a finger to a sharp set of teeth. Charlie had to leave the group and recuperate by himself.
And that's what he's been doing all these many years.
Now he's back.
Charlie Broyhill is back as our producer.
Charlie was often drugged before he was rescued and brought to Monkey World. So he knows how this works.
There we go.
And don't worry about Lisa. She's back there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so is Joe.
Joe's the guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
Yeah, you know, Joe Ardinger. And I want to know, it's coming very soon.
Joe.
On the Don and Mike Show, I know you've seen the ads for the show Joe Millionaire.
Yes, of course.
Very soon, Joe Ardinger Millionaire. Our own takeoff on Joe Millionaire.
We're going to hook Joe up with a lot of different ladies.
Joe Ardinger Millionaire.
Very exciting.
And also, the American Idol starts soon, and we'll have our American Idiot winner coming up in a couple of weeks. I've got to preview for you the very first Secret Sound of 2003. It's just a preview for you.
Very exciting.
Don't even know if we're going to play the contest today, but here is the brand new, first ever 2003 Secret Sound.
That's a clicking sound.
Thank you, Buzz. No, Buzz was dead on with that. That is a clicking sound.
It is not, and here is your clue. Non-electrical.
Already with that?
Yeah, like that's going to help. Like that's going to help.
A click.
Like that's going to help, Robbie.
I have my first guess.
Yeah.
Is it Rob Spiewak clipping one of his toenails?
No comment. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ooh.
Audie, you're back.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, congratulations on your vacation.
That's my favorite new call.
Thank you, my
friend. That's fantastic.
Hey, back in the day when I was a senior, I had a girlfriend. She was hot. She was in ninth grade.
Oh, no.
No. This isn't going where you think it's going.
Okay.
Mark's going to hate it, but her father, after he told us once, I came over the next time, the door was removed.
Oh, the basement door.
That's what you may have to do.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. You were just telling the story about your son, and I was wondering why you C-block him so much.
Wait.
It's because it's his job, Dick.
Because he's 18.
No, he's not.
Oh, man, I hope you don't have kids. I got two daughters, and I hope your son doesn't date one of them.
He's different with the son.
Hey, listen, douche. He's not 17. Dead.
So what were you doing at 17? You were banging phone pigs.
Oh, no, stop it.
Now, very true, but just because I live that type of life, and I don't know what my son does when I'm not watching him, but I'll tell you this, in my house, when he was 17...
It's your way or the Long Island Expressway?
He's fucking banging his girlfriend down in the basement.
Right.
I'll tell you that, you little dick.
Hey, I'll tell you this, you better take a blacklight down to that basement.
Oh my God, this is not
Sounds
pleasant.
To me like you're getting your rocks off on this.
Yeah, you're...
No, I'm wondering what's wrong with the little poontang.
You're a creep. What's wrong is I got two daughters, I'm going to kick your ass right now.
Like you're getting your nut on this, man.
No, it's not like that.
Nah, sure it is. You're going to go... 17-year-old boy, 17-year-old girl. John, tell me more about this.
Right, I'm already uncomfortable with this discussion.
Yes, tell me more about this.
Son.
Oh, DNA, black lights, jack off.
Exactly.
It's official. It's 2 hours into the show.
Get out of here. Yeah, you were right, Ron. Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing, Don?
Okay, we're doing great.
Hey, sorry to hear about your father-in-law.
Thanks.
It was pretty touching at the beginning of the show. There you go.
Can we move past it? I appreciate it. I God damn. That's what I told my dad. Okay, hey, I was hoping we wouldn't get those
calls. I just wanted to tell you that the Eagles are going to show you how to beat Atlanta.
I agree. I think the Eagles are going to beat Atlanta.
Because
I think that the Michael Vick thing was under the radar.
Yeah, Brett Favre, is that him? He's done. He's an old man.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Don?
I don't disagree.
Did you like that call?
I did not. I don't disagree that the Eagles have a good chance of beating Atlanta, but I would not say Brett Favre is an old man.
Right.
I would not say that. Now, he's not handsome. We're discussing Brett Favre riding around a tractor in Mississippi.
Yeah, that's good looking right there.
I don't doubt that freaking redneck goes down to Mississippi and takes his shirt off.
Sure, absolutely. It probably has even more of a 3-day, it's probably an 8-day growth of beard.
My father brought up an interesting point about Brett Favre. He says, look at him and imagine him as homeless.
Yeah.
And it's a real short trip.
He loves that. He loves that stubble.
Yeah.
You know who's the worst looking, though, is Kerry Collins?
Kerry Collins looks like he could be on The Holler. You know that show they ran on HBO? Remember with the kids that were in Appalachia?
American Holler.
He could be on American Holler in because he's just skinny enough in the head. He's got that Adam's apple. He's like, wee-hee.
But I would agree that I think the Eagles will probably be the Falcons. And I think if that happens, WYSB sure better get ready to send us to the Super Bowl. And those of you listening to us in San Francisco, good luck next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think you're going to win that game against Tampa Bay? Don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Don't think so. I like Oakland. I like Tennessee. It's in the AFC. Mike.
Yes, Don.
Your holiday, your whatever holiday.
So much to talk about. I don't know where to begin. I've got plugs for different businesses that I approve of. I've got stories of the holiday. I've got stories of Christmas, stories of New Year's. I've got a plug for my absolute favorite bar, where I spent most of my time. And, I know people have joked about my lifestyle since my separation last June, that people have, mocked me for the fact that maybe I enjoy an adult beverage. But I will tell them that this particular holiday season was marked by many, many trips to adult drinking establishments. Because really, that's what I can crystallize it this way. Last year, on my vacation, I went down to a place that I have in Florida, and I played total 18 rounds of golf. That's almost a record. That's an amazing, amazing amount of golf.
Bob, I don't know if you have to get the sad music ready.
We'll say I got to have a
do you 18, the sad music.
It's not yet. It's not appropriate yet. This is the happy lead-in.
You're premature on it,
Rob. I know he's dying to immediately go into the sad music, but he doesn't need to do that. I know. It's not necessary yet.
The Eric Carmen greatest hit.
It's not necessary. It will be necessary. As a matter of fact, it will be probably more appropriate than it's ever been before, but I will tell you that this time around, with even a longer stay down in the great state of Florida, I played one round of golf.
Hey.
Wow.
And all of the
one
rest,
round, that's
all
it.
Of the rest of the time was just...
I was entertaining people. What it was normally I would play early in the morning, and it just wasn't appropriate because I wasn't getting up early in the morning. I was sleeping in, and there were guests coming and going at my place down there, and I would be showing them around and taking them down around Florida and taking them down to the beach and then taking them to the VIP.
the
VIP lounge. Which I mentioned last year. And it's unfortunate because it's down in Fort Myers, Florida. We're not on in Fort Myers anymore because they flipped the format to Spanish down there.
But you're going
to
be plugging businesses.
I'm plugging
where the plug cannot be heard.
I'm going to plug one here later on, too, because I haven't done that. And I think they deserve it after a year of supporting my habit. And I think that the VIP is what it said. What I found out was down at the VIP lounge down in Fort Myers that the regulars, which I became, especially Christmas night, it was called the VIP. The VIP lounge is what you call it.
You just want to go where everybody knows your name.
I do. And you know what? When you're in a situation like I'm in, you're entertaining people, and, I'm not going to do the golf thing, because that would be really, when I would have house guests coming down. I had a couple of people visit for a few days, and then I had my bass player visit for a few days.
Yeah.
Other people, bass player, Colin Hyde. Yeah, we had a great time. It was, it was a very, very good trip. However, I want to give a plug. This is, I'm not getting compensated for this, but I will tell you, I flew that JetBlue. You know that new airline they talk about?
Right, where you watch TV?
It's TV all the way down.
Wow.
I mean, you're taxiing, and you have 24 channels that you can flip through, and I found it just fantastic. And bagel chips. So, you know, it was going. But, hey, look, as I'm giving them a plug. I like the airline. I like the experience. They talk about your leather seats they have there. Just don't be fooled by that. Yes, they are leather seats, but I do believe the aircraft has the same amount of space as you would have in any coach section. It's not like by getting the leather seats, you're not getting a very spacious, wonderful, you know, leather recliner that you can sit in. But they all have the little TVs.
Right.
And it was great because the History Channel was on there and they had the history of torture. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that over the holidays.
Watch while you're flying.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, an incredible diversion. And they got all the food networks. So I'm watching Emeril Lagasse on the way down. And the flight was over instantaneously. It was so fantastic. I really dug it. And then I spent some time in not just in Fort Myers, but, well, it actually leads into my New Year's resolution.
Well, how about that one day I called you and you were
I was on
South,
I was on South Beach.
You were in South Beach?
I love South Beach. I love the rhythm of South Beach. I don't think it's a place, it's like New Orleans, Louisiana. I don't think it's a place where you could make a whole week's vacation, but it's a good place to visit because it's so energetic and there's so many wonderful, like, beautiful women on the beach there. There are a lot of gay men there also. I should point that out. And
have I told you you're my favorite?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been accused of that occasionally.
And I was looking for that one.
There's a place called Mangoes down there, which has...
Mangoes
down there. Which,
mangoes.
This place, they have a...
How would you like to suck on my mangoes?
It's a Latin place, and they got all the waitresses that dance on the bar, and they have... they walk around with... with these bikini bottoms with their butts hanging out. Mm. And it's just, it's very exciting. And it's, you know, and really, that was the first place that I stopped on my Florida tour.
Mangoes, that would be your
Mangoes,
first.
That's where I recommend highly. If you're
South
going to go.
Beach recommendation.
If you're going to go to Miami Beach, go to Mangoes because really that's the place. And it's got great Latin music. I was so caught up with the Latin lifestyle and the Latin thing. That's my New Year's resolution is I'm actually going to go to the Borders bookstore and I'm going to learn to speak Spanish better than I speak it currently. Because
Mangoes.
Because I'd really like to speak to some of the people down there that, you know, when you're in Miami, Miami is really more Latin than the English speaking.
You were all hepped up on goofballs that day I talked to you.
I was probably, we spoke in the morning, I believe. And
but you sounded like you had like a drunk that was going from the night before, maybe.
It might have been mimosa morning. It might have been that. You know, you sleep late. I think we were talking to each other probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. I think I'd had breakfast. And I was probably feeling quite festive. You know, you were sharing some very good ratings news with me, which was wonderful. And I was sitting there getting this news in the sun, you know, and it was about 70 degrees, and I love it down there. I absolutely love it.
Hey, Mike,
I'm a different person when I'm down there.
Just remember, you can't spell mangoes without M-A-N.
M-A-N. Well, I didn't mention that the men dance on the bar, too.
Of course.
Including one particular guy with a cowboy hat that that got up there. But they have this, like, famous Latin band, and they do, I think it's called... either salsa or samba, salsa dance. And it's salsa dancing, and everybody does this dancing down there. And then the waitresses go around with these little test tube shooters, and if you order one of these little shots, they put it in their mouth, and then they pour it into your mouth, kind of like mouth to mouth. It's very erotic and very exhilarating, and I had a very, very good time. And then it was across Alligator Alley, all the way over to my place over there, and just to another bar, you know, which is very... It was... I'm sorry. I have to be honest with you. It was bar to bar.
That's how you spent your whole vacation.
Because I got a bit of bad news that unfortunately my whole family was not going to be able to come down after the holiday, which I was counting on, and because of a variety of reasons, which I will not get into, that wasn't going to happen, and that made me very, very sad, and I was kind of bummed out about that. So I did not play a lot of golf. I had a fantastic time, and I will be learning to speak Spanish. My Spanish will be improving as each week goes by. That is my New Year's resolution. I will be fluent in Spanish for next year. All right. When I go down to South Beach in Miami, I will be speaking with people as though I am a native.
Good.
And I went to our cigar place down there. I went to our cigar place and bought a box of cigars. It used to be the South Beach Cigar Company. Remember that?
Did you find out if they're fakes or real?
They're probably... I didn't buy Cubans down there. He, you know, he was talking about the old guy that used to run that, and I think you and I both got maybe some fakes down there. But this was, I think it was called Deco Drive Cigars, and I got some of those Ashtons. I got a nice box of Ashtons, but I haven't smoked cigars in a real long time, and I did something very stupid. I was out on the street. It was a bright sunny day, and I was lighting this lighter, and it didn't look like it was lighting. And so what did I do? Like a complete moron.
Your face?
I put my hand over it, and I lit it, and immediately, like, got almost a third-degree burn in the palm of my hand, and it was, maybe that was
Don,
because...
Don, baby, how's it going?
And I didn't even flinch, Buster.
Out of the rat.
But it all, of course, led up to the Christmas holiday, and a lot of time in the VIP lounge with my friends there, and as it turned out, you know, on Christmas Day... Yeah, I know you've been waiting for this particular moment.
I have not been waiting.
I know, but I mean, I know Rob has. I mean, but the truth is that
isn't it rich?
On Christmas Day, I was alone.
Are we a pair?
For a while. It gets
this
worse.
This is the story of how I became a lonely guy.
It gets worse.
How can I get worse than being alone on Christmas, man?
Well, because I wasn't alone. I actually went out to the VIP lounge Christmas night.
To your bar, Christmas
with all a bunch of the friends of mine down there, we're going out there, and about 9 o'clock, we all went out, and the guy that sings there, Chuck, the lounge singer, who really plays like karaoke, but he sings, you know, he does the Neil Diamond show that's scheduled on Monday, and that's his claim to fame. But he sings everything.
God.
He sings everything.
Oh, man.
I will tell you, I love this place. I don't make any apologies. I love this.
Oh,
and
God.
Chuck was down there. Chuck is my new friend down there.
Chuck Diamond.
Chuck sang everything. He was singing Christmas songs. And I think I took a turn on O Holy Night a cappella, which was very, very well received. And then
really been bombed.
And then the Elvis impersonator arrived a short time afterwards, out of uniform. And at the very end of Christmas night... everyone had left the bar except me and the Elvis impersonator. We were sitting, this is the God's honest truth. We were sitting side by side enjoying a little Christmas cocktail as they were cleaning up and putting the chairs away and everything like that. It was me, and the Elvis impersonator. The very end of Christmas. That was, quite a different Christmas for me this time around.
When I was young.
Now, I don't want... So you look sad there for a second.
I am.
Don't look sad.
I am. I'm sad that, you know, it didn't work out, that your kids were not able to be with you.
They were supposed to come down the day after, and as it turned out, I came back home, and we had another Christmas for them, which they had a wonderful time, and I got to do the whole Christmas thing.
So that you're in a... bar of Christmas.
Well, what the hell else was I going to do? I was all by myself. I had no choice. Because all my guests were scheduled before and after that holiday. And, you know, some came in. You know, one of my friends left Christmas Eve. And then that was it. And, you know, I went out with a friend on Christmas Eve. I had a very good time. But when Christmas morning came, Buzz, do not look at me like that.
You were not alone, Mike. You had the Elvis guy with you.
I did. I had the Elvis. Chris.
Yes.
The Elvis impersonator.
Chris, you were not alone.
Chris is like mother or aunt or something, has a bar up here, too. So if he comes back for... he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He is. He's great. He does a good Elvis impression, but he also understands the comedy of Elvis, which I enjoy. And, you know, yes, was it sad?
Yes, it was.
But I got through it and then came back home, you know, flew, almost didn't make my plane because I got a late start and had to drive like 98 miles an hour across that alligator alley, which is a straight shot. And if you can, you know, if you can outrun John Law,
right,
you'll make it there without any problem at all. And, you know, got back here and had my Christmas once I arrived back here. And it was fun. And it was, you know, I miss my kids a lot and it was good to see them and everything worked out. In the end, everything worked out for the best. And, but I didn't get any. I even got a Christmas present from my ex. I got a Christmas, and I didn't get her a Christmas present.
What did you get?
I got a set of phones, wireless, like high tech phones for the house.
I believe now you're much too modest.
Yes,
but I believe your gift arrives every month, doesn't it?
Stop it! Stop it! Now you stop that. Can't do that. You know we can't do that.
We're not allowed to do that. But it was, you know... It
Santa.
Was, and then, you know, I enjoyed the holiday, rang in the New Year at another bar back here, and really drank my way through the entire holiday, and I lived to tell about it. And listen to my voice. Even though I have a cold, yeah. My voice came back,
yeah.
And I was able to sing, and I'm able to sing like a lark now. My voice is completely recovered.
And aren't you glad you didn't kill Charlie right before Christmas?
Yeah, I am glad because, you know, it was good to call you when I was watching the Giants game the other day and say that, hi, Don, I'm kicking field goals for the New York Giants. Because, you know, I was raised a New York Giant. Yeah, I got totally into the Giants down in Florida when I was watching the Philadelphia game and really got back into it, like, with everything, all my emotions, watched the whole game yesterday and was able to get my heart broken just like the Red Sox do. I'd avoided that because, I can only take so much professional sports during the year that ruins my life, and I was glad to see that the New York Giants were able to do that to me yesterday with one of the greatest choke collapses in the history of the NFL yesterday.
I was thinking about you when I got off the phone with you yesterday. I was thinking, they've been playing now football for 5 months. For 20 weeks, they've been playing.
Yeah, right.
You just got into it.
I totally got into
you
it.
You got into it last week.
Where did I do it? In a bar.
In a bar.
Right.
So then,
you know, like the movie, you know, the movie Silverado, when Kevin Kline walks in and he sees the little dwarf lady, whatever, Linda Hunt, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, you like a good saloon? It's the only place I'm truly happy. Yeah, I'm just like Kevin Kline.
Like you're the funniest because you really only watch two football games all year.
Only watch
and I mean, and after the second game, you're convinced they lost just to break your heart.
Absolutely.
Man, you only
if
got,
I don't pay you attention.
Got, you only got 6 hours invested in it.
You know, here's the deal. When the Giants won the last Super Bowl, after that, I lost interest in the NFL. You know that. I'm not as passionate as well. You know, before that, I was super into the NFL, and I just didn't focus on it like I used to. And so I just lost. I was more, I'd focus on baseball, my Red Sox and stuff like that. And then I kind of like, I like Jeremy Shockey. I like this team. They're not expected to do anything. They came back from being
I don't like him. He's like Eminem.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
A little too much. Yesterday,
he's a white guy pretending to be a black guy.
You know, yesterday I thought he was a little bit too over the top. I didn't like that. As a matter of fact, I liked it when he was like nodding in the guy's face. I know a lot of Philly people probably didn't like that, but I liked it when he was nodding in the guy's face last week. But then, you know, when I was so into it, and I got so into it in such a short period of time, that I do take it completely personally. If I was not into it, they would have won that game. They would have. San Francisco wouldn't have mounted that comeback.
That's
the way I look at it.
That's what's so funny because the world.
I have bad luck. My teams don't win.
The world revolves around you.
I have good luck. I have good
you
luck in my career.
The Giants for two games all year.
I have good luck in my career. Only reason for that is because I happen to hang out with you. We happen to get this good thing going. You know, if it was just me, oh, things would go to total S. Completely right now like that. And then I got home in time to get my my medical procedure
now,
and get my stuff for my breathing.
Now this
my snoring,
looking,
which I have.
This I am looking forward to now. I spoke with Mike many times over the holiday.
We did indeed.
But this was the call that really cracked me up the most.
Mm-hmm.
Mike was just describing to me the apparatus that he has to use now when he sleeps at night.
Let me just say that for a person who is newly single, who is hoping that perhaps that there will be female companionship in his life, I am told by the guy at, I think it's called Bay State Medical, who installed this, who showed me how to operate it, I'm told that they wish me to wear this every single night. That the way it works best is if you wear it every night. And I'm telling him right now that there is no effing way that is going to happen. And no. You'll understand why.
Where is it? Is it in your car?
No, it's in its carrying case.
Oh, you have it here.
Okay, well,
it's in its handy carrying case.
Don't show me until the break.
Respironics. There we go.
Don't
and this is because I have sleep apnea.
Right.
Don't show me until the break.
I will show it when we come back.
When
I will.
Come back.
I will show you exactly what I need to wear on my face every night, according to
now,
this guy.
Have you worn it yet?
Well, here's the deal. I got it on New Year's Day, after New Year's Eve, I got this little head cold that I'm battling, and they say, you really shouldn't try it, but I tried it anyway, and so far it's not really agreeing with me totally.
Yeah.
It's kind of like blowing air out of my mouth. But I mean, I have a cold too, so I want to wait till I'm healthy, yeah. And then I'm going to try the thing, and hopefully it's going to work out. But my kids got a big kick out of it. They said, "Look at Daddy. Daddy's an elephant." All right. That's the way it
now, Mike,
they loved it. I had to set them up because, I mean, you know, occasionally when they're staying with me, they'll crawl into bed right. In the middle of the night, and if they see this thing, I mean, that would be a childhood trauma. You could probably never get them back from. There's Daddy the elephant. I just know, let me see, based on this thing, the chicks are going to go wild.
I'd have to say, you have to tell the doctors, on the nights that you want to get laid...
I'm putting it under the bed.
You cannot wear an oxygen mask to bed.
Well, you can't even... You have to keep it on, like, the nightstand, and I got to hire... I'm unplugging it. Mm-hmm.
I'm dying to see it now.
All right. Well, I didn't bring in the little machine. All I brought in was the stuff that I put on my head and the stuff that attaches to the machine. That's good enough.
How big is the machine?
The machine is about the size of a large toaster.
Oh, you need a cozy, then, to cover it up.
Yeah, it's a great idea, Buzz. I'll get a cozy.
I'll knit you one.
Get a cozy, all right. Because
a little doily on my nightstand will even help me even more.
The debut. The debut of Mike's oxygen. Hello, Don and Mike.
It's not oxygen. It's a compressor.
Hello.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, I wondered if Mike remembered when Tony Soprano walks into to visit Uncle Junior and asks him, "Hey, how many MiGs you shoot down today?"
Yeah, okay, when he's got the thing down. Dude, this thing's worse.
It's worse
like a
than
pilot.
This really, I mean, well, I'll show
right.
it to you.
Wait until we see you in the next break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
Yes?
Listen, I got to tell you, as a 49er fan for many years.
Yes, sir.
Season tickets in our family since the late 40s.
Yes.
It was a pleasure to see the Giants go down the way that they did.
And
let me tell you,
good
Shockey is a jerk.
You know, I mean, Shockey gets what he deserves. I mean, Shockey's going to get the adulation if the Giants win. He's going to get the crap if they, you know, if they lose.
He's an ass. Enjoy that big game you're going to have next week.
I will not be betting on that.
Nobody is.
See you later. Hello. And if Jeff Garcia is not a fag, somebody please produce a wife, produce a child. Did you see him on the field with Pam Oliver yesterday? So. I'm down here with the Brett Favre, the Jeff Garcia, or whoever, Jeff Garcia.
It was a total team effort. I just want to say that this really was, all I can say, it was awesome. It was just awesome. You know, we were down 24, and I just said to the guys in the huddle that we just got to get together and we can make it happen.
Super!
Really awesome!
I swear to God he talks like that.
Meanwhile, Kerry Collins was saying, "So I took the butcher knife and put it up to her neck."
Hey, Don!
And then the last thing Jeff Garcia said was, I'll see you at Mango's. I'll see you at Mango's in South Beach.
Hey, let me tell you something. If we ever have the occasion to go down to Miami for a game or something like that, I will take you to Mango's, and you will, trust me, you will agree. It is, they have men there, but it's a balancing act.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Last call. Hello?
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's up with them Packers?
Football season.
Yeah.
Packers suck ass, man. What can I say? They got killed.
Hey, I remember when I was little, my friend had the Naked Olympics. Let's ever put that on a DVD.
The Naked Olympics?
Yeah, way to refer to something that was like 8 years ago on the show.
Right. Ever forward, my friend.
We'll do another one.
There'll be plenty of nudity in
2003. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye, kids.
What?
I missed that last part.
Whatever.
It was something
like, thank you, Buzz.
Like Spartacus.
Whatever.
But I don't think it was Spartacus. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, brothers.
Hey.
Hey, I got a vouch from Mike. I've been down there. Mango Mike's is a hot spot.
Is it Mango Mike's or is it Mango's?
I think it's Mango Mike's.
No, the place I was at was right on Ocean Drive, right on the main drag.
Yeah, I know. I was there like a year ago. They may have taken Mike off.
Yeah,
is it gay? Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hey,
yeah.
I think Mango Mike's is a place in Bethany.
Oh, you're right.
It's a restaurant.
But I did pick up some Spanish down
there,
Mike.
If you have been to Mango's, you know what I'm talking about.
Different place. Mango Mike's is a different type of...
Another gay bar.
All right, one more call that we got to break. Hello, Donna Mike.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hey, it's crying guy.
Hi,
guy.
You said
spent Christmas in a bar with an Elvis impersonator?
I did indeed. Yes, I spent. I'm sorry, man. That's just the way it went.
And your wife wouldn't let you see the kids for Christmas?
Well, it just kind of worked out that way. That was it. Yeah. That's all right. It's going to be all right.
The crying.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. It's going to be okay.
I'm sorry for you, Mike.
I know you are. I know. Please stop crying, though. You're making me feel worse. Please.
And Don?
Yeah.
Seriously, real sorry about your dad.
Thank you, crying guy.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's better, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Keep singing, buddy.
It'll get better.
You keep singing, buddy.
Take it easy.
Wear that mask, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Okay. There he goes. Is he ever going to hang up?
Oh, man.
He has to standard out with Buzz.
Yeah.
Isn't that his out?
Yeah, it usually is.
Buzz?
Yeah, yes, crying man.
Did you give me the weed for Christmas?
No, I didn't get it.
Want to get high?
You want to get high?
All right, goodbye, crying guy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Cheer up.
Want to get high? Want to get high?
Cheer up, crying guy.
Goodbye. Bye.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Hey, a break, and we'll see Mike's oxygen mask. Right after. You now want me to call it that?
Well, no, you call whatever you want when you see it.
Okay, right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They were on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tape.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Addicted to elective cosmetic surgery. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, I'm having a Botox party this weekend. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Great, I just called to say hello. I'm surprised you put me on.
Well, let me see if I can follow the logic here.
Okay.
You call a radio show. Where are you calling from?
Seattle, Washington.
All right, so you call a national radio show to say hello and you're surprised that you're on.
Yeah, because I don't have anything cool to say and I don't know a damn thing about football.
It's all right, honey. That's all right. See you later. See you at the restaurant.
Seattle.
See you at the restaurant. I almost forgot the funniest part of the occasion. When my son was in Jamaica, there is a restaurant, and he took a picture of the sign, Cunny's Restaurant. C-U-N-N-Y apostrophe S.
Really?
Cunny's Restaurant.
That's great.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm trying to think of the one I saw down there. It was a Thai restaurant.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Come pie.
Hey, I want to know, are you all going to be watching, checking out Joe Millionaire tonight?
C-O-M-P-I-I, or P, I don't think it was P-I-E, I think it was P-I. C-O-M-P-I.
Come by.
Come by.
What's the name of the restaurant?
That's what they did in American Pie.
Come by.
Joe Millionaire, I think I'm going to watch it because it has the chance to be very cruel. Yeah.
Very, very cruel.
I mean, the way they've set it up. It looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out tonight. I'll watch a little bit of it.
Actually a construction worker.
And tomorrow on the show, we're going to have to work through the details of our own ripoff of Joe Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Ardinger Millionaire.
Right, exactly.
He's a loser. Joe Ardinger.
Are we going to palm him off as a winner?
Well,
Joe.
I think we're going to try to make Joe into a winner for one night.
I don't think that's possible.
With some lucky gal.
Joe's the guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
Joe. See, it's not Joe Millionaire, it's Joe Ardinger Millionaire.
That's right.
Yeah, we can make him a fictitious corporation, like the president of Ardinger Pharmaceuticals.
And I think I'm probably also going to watch The Bachelorette on Wednesday because I liked the final episode of The Bachelor.
Right.
And I don't know who it is, but somebody on vacation told me that the girl who is the bachelorette is the one who the guy didn't choose.
On the Bachelor.
On the Bachelor.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
On the first installment. Oh. And she is a piece of ass, this girl, the bachelorette.
She is really hot, and I'm surprised he didn't pick her.
And they show her like getting in a hot tub with these guys and making out with these guys. But I'll hand it to Fox. At least the premise is great that you just get a stupid construction worker.
Well, and he does look, I haven't heard him speak yet, but he looks incredibly stupid. Yeah, he's a good looking, but doesn't he look like almost like one gene away from being quirky?
You could look at the picture and say, this is a mildly retarded man.
Right, because he's always, every look he's got the,
he's on the horse.
But I love on the horse, but I love the setup. That they get those 20 bitches all the way to France and they say, this is Joe. He's just inherited $50 million.
He's on a private plane with them and stuff like that. And then it's just like,
it's got great potential. I just hope they don't F it up.
Nah.
That's all. Mike, we've all been waiting.
Yes, please.
You ready? This is going to take a bit.
Ready to see the debut of Mike's new oxygen mask.
We're going to set up the apparatus now.
This is what he's going to be wearing every night to go to bed now.
For his sleep apnea.
Which is,
you actually stop breathing at some point. It's a complicated form of snoring, really.
And yes, everybody, come on in. Joey's here. Lisa's here.
This will have him wake up more rested.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Wow.
How are you?
How are you supposed to?
Hey, what's happening? Hey, it's time for bed.
It's elaborate.
How about Betty Bye, everybody?
How are you? Let's get some feedback right away.
I just expect more from a kid named Joe.
Joe Ardinger, what are your thoughts?
Oh, and Robbie, we need
Hi, Joe.
Music.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe, don't speak until we play. Joe, hold on. Wait till we play your theme. Lisa, what do you think? Lisa Herndon.
I'm scared of you. It's very science fiction looking. Like.
Mike, I'll say this. It's Hannibal Lecter-ish.
Blue straps and a clear mask.
What good is sitting.
Look at the tube. Look at the goddamn vacuum tube on this. All right. We're not playing Stump the Joe, but here he is, star of the Joe Show.
Joe.
Joe Ardinger. Joe, can we have your catchphrase?
Biggie Pig, 2003.
There you go, Joe. There you go, Joe.
Joe.
All right, Joe, your thoughts.
My first thought was, how can you possibly get any rest?
I can give you an answer to that, Joe. That's because of the fabulous swiveling head. I can turn any which way in bed because it's got this swiveling head.
I couldn't sleep. First thing I thought was I could not sleep with that.
I roll, but I've actually tried it. But I mean, because of the cold, I haven't been able to give it the old college try. I'm gonna let you know if it works.
What happens if you roll over on the tube and suffocate yourself?
I've thought about that too, and I hope that doesn't happen. But I think you'd wake up before that happened, you know. And I won't go. But what's happening right now is it's blowing the air out of my mouth.
Thank you, Joe. Joe, you got to leave because your infectious theme is getting. I wanted to sing Stomp to Joe.
Joe.
Let me describe what Mike has. It is a nozzle. It's an oxygen mask that fits neatly over his nose.
Allowing me to speak quite clearly.
Although
A bit nasal. What makes you think that?
It has.
Like Burl.
Two headband like.
Hello?
One of the headband.
This is Milton Burrow.
One of the headband.
I have the largest penis in show business by my friend at Bay State Medical.
Go above his eye line, and the other goes right along his mustache line.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's.
We are the Borg! We are the Borg coming to get you.
And he's got this thing. It looks like an oxygen mask.
It looks like the boy in the bubble is going on a field trip.
Yeah, actually, and hey, you know, sweet dreams to me.
Here's what sets it apart.
Yes, indeed.
Not the fact that it's the mask, and even the fact that it has the giant, like,
this is
vacuum.
This is the second mask, too. This is the gel mask. I have another smaller mask.
It almost looks like you could get away with it even being like a diving mask.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except for the fact that it has those ridiculous Velcro straps.
Well, that's to secure it to your head.
In a sporty blue color, though. It's very nice.
That's how
around
it secures
your eyebrows and around your upper lip.
They said the only thing I have to worry about, you know, the one thing I found is when I've had it on for a long period of time, it tends to make this part right up right where my mustache is get almost a little numb because of the pressing on there.
But
so I haven't given it the old college try yet.
If it is airtight, you could conceivably sleep underwater.
Yeah, but if I didn't open my mouth. But as soon as I open my mouth, it would be all over.
Now, the tube is like a vacuum cleaner hose.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that plugs into the machine.
I'm straggling myself.
That thing plugs into the rickety machine.
Yes, and what it is, it's not an oxygen thing. What it is compressed air. It blows air into my nose so that it opens up all the air passages so that I don't stop breathing in the middle of the night, which I often want to do.
All right, here is a resolution for 2003. We are going to get DonnaMikeWebsite.com up and running because this is a picture that you should be able to go to the World Wide Web and access.
Yes, I agree.
To see exactly what Mike looked like wearing.
Handsome, isn't it? I did make the man laugh that was going through the... Because as soon as he fitted on me, I went over to the mirror, and I looked at the mirror, and I went, oh, F me. F me hard.
You'll never get laid wearing that.
No, there's not a chance. You got to hide this thing. You got to put this in another room.
You should never have let your kids see you in that thing.
Well, I have to because I'm going to wear it when my kids are over. Because nobody's going to be visiting when my kids are over. It's the way Daddy's doing it, you know. Maybe not in Wisconsin, though. You know?
No, I wasn't thinking about that. I'm just thinking, my God.
No, they have to know because I'm going to wear it when they're there. They got a kick out of it. They laugh, Daddy's an elephant, you know. And I'm like, with the big trunk. Can I take it off now?
Well, hold on. Buzz, have I described this adequately a lot of times?
Very accurately, yes.
Buzz, give it the once-over. You're good at this.
Two blue straps, one around his forehead, one under his ear along the jawline, a clear plastic face mask over his nose.
Hi, Buzz!
And hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz! I'm Ricardo!
A gray tube with a swivel on it. And, you know, I don't know, Mike, some women might like that.
Does this mask tell you maybe I should get the nasal surgery?
Hold on. You know what? You have just crystallized. In some way, it makes you look retarded.
No, he's not retarded.
Thank you very much.
In some way, that is the word. If we were playing Password and I was describing Mike's look in one word, it would be retarded.
Hello? Hi, Don. Frank said beans.
Very science fiction, I think.
Killing me.
You know, and with the mustache that I have, that's a little uncomfortable. Kind of mashes the mustache into your lip, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not shaving.
So now this thing then forces you to breathe through your nose?
Yeah. Yeah, they say it does, and it'll force you to breathe through your nose. And, you know, you won't get there. It's got, like, a little humidifier in it, too, so you got a little water thing with distilled water.
I have a question, Mr. Merrick.
And just like a cigar. I am not an animal. I'm a human being.
You mean you could forego wearing this if you had surgery? Is that a possibility?
Yeah. This is the alternative to having your nose busted up and, you know, and going through, like, 2 weeks of recovery.
Do you think that will actually, would this encourage you to have surgery?
I do it on RX vacation. I know we just got done with the vacation, but
vacations are great.
No, I don't want to get my nose broken.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Broken. If I'm going to get it broken, it'll be involuntary like it's always been.
You should have something like a DNR where if you come to the ER after a fight and your nose is already broken.
Do not resuscitate.
You are on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm 27. I got apnea myself. And I have to admit, I'm a little annoyed you guys think this is pretty funny. It's a pretty severe thing here. I mean, this isn't something...
You can tell we're taking it serious.
I'll tell you what. I find it funny when you die of a heart attack.
You what?
I said, I'll find it funny when you guys are... when you're having some heart problems in a couple of years, because you're not used to it. I find it pretty funny.
Well, wait, I am going to use it. That's why I pursued it. Why are you getting all mad?
Well, maybe not at you, then. The other guys, I keep on laughing at this stuff.
Look, they're laughing because it's funny. It looks like I've got a goddamn elephant trunk on my head.
Dude, I've got apnea myself. I'm 27 years old.
Hey,
dude,
we laugh at you, too, then.
It's a comedy radio show, you moron.
You lose all credibility using the word dude anyway.
All right, you jerk off.
Hey, dude, it's apnea, dude.
It's our first a-hole of 2003.
Happy New Year. There you go. Bye-bye. Tell Les I said hi. Asswipe.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Good people.
Mike, I just wanted to know, might you not have tried this a little earlier in the marriage, and would it have helped?
You know, I don't think this could benefit any marriage.
No. Well, I mean, being a fellow snorer myself,
I don't think the snoring issue was ever a big, big deal in my marriage. But then again, maybe not, because what do I know?
Damn sexy, that's what
maybe
I think.
Maybe if I'd known what was going on. But do you think if I came to bed wearing this, that would keep the fire burning? Come on.
Don and Mike, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, Mike, welcome to the air club for men.
The air club. That's good.
That is good.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
At least the apparatus doesn't have what looks like underwear. Both my parents wear that same contraption, and they have a thing that looks like underwear on the top of their head that goes with it.
Oh, you mean like kind of a surgical cap?
Yeah.
Oh,
it is hysterical looking, the two of them.
They both use it?
Yeah.
You know, as funny as it is having one person...
It takes forever for us to go on vacation because they have to pack those things up.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Mike. When you go away, like if you were going to go down to South Beach...
What do you think this is for?
So you got to run that baby through the security checks?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, they say that if it really works for me, that I'll want to take it with me everywhere I go.
Sure.
Which you can understand why I'd want to do that. It's not cheap.
Now, many doctors are on the line. Hello, doctor.
And go snorkeling.
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm taking it off now.
Hold on. Keep it on when we talk to the doctors.
It hurts.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello, doctor.
I just wanted to tell Mike, actually, the surgery is an alternative to the device. The surgery, he can go through 2 weeks of horrible pain. It only works two-thirds of the time.
Yep.
So you could possibly go through the entire surgery and still have to use the machine.
Yeah, I'm not really... That's kind of the way it was put to me. And, you know, the doctor that I went to said the same kind of thing. This is the viable alternative for somebody who's got sleep apnea. And it is funnier the longer I keep it on.
It is. Here's another doctor. Donna Mike. Hello.
Brothers. Happy New Year, guys.
First one in 2003. Hello, doctor.
Hey. Hey, Mike.
What can you tell me about it, doctor?
Hey, Tom.
I can't tell you nothing about it. Hey, Don.
Hey, Tom. Can you don't even go there, Tom. I know what you're gonna do. Don't do it.
What?
Can you spell sleep?
S-E-E-P.
There you go.
Can you spell apnea?
Nope.
You know what? I can't either, Mike. How do you spell it?
A P N E A.
That's right.
Phonetically.
A P N E A.
A P.
A P N E A. A P N E A.
A P N E A.
Can you spell? Oh, forget it.
Hey, Don?
I don't want to hear it, Tom. Bye. Okay, we're going to break. But if we come back, Mike, you may, I believe. You want to take it off?
Yeah, well, I got to get used to it, you know, because I'm going to have it on for 8 hours. Or in my case, three. With my swinger lifestyle.
Too funny. When we come back, lots of loose ends.
Jesus Christ.
Lots of loose ends from the holiday I want to take care of.
Whatever.
See you right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign? No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Them hard. Soy sauce comes out. Don and Mike.
All right, Dingus, we have time just for a wrap-up break here because another resolution in the new year.
Yes.
We know that Broyhill's back.
Right.
We're going to try to run a little more on schedule so that we actually have time for Buzz's news.
Very good.
At the end of the show every day.
Probably be a good year to, you know, be aware of what's going on in the world.
So you better be good.
All right.
Buzz. You better sound like Santa Claus.
You better watch out. Better not cry.
You better be good. Here are a couple of loose ends that I would like help with from the audience in a couple of them. Well, first, I don't need your help, but obviously they effed up the forecast yesterday when all up and down the East Coast we got 5 inches of snow. They predicted a dusting.
Clay Henry.
Then today, that's wrong, Mike.
I know.
Clay Henry's the subway guy. It's Clay Alexander.
Clay Alexander, I mean, was just... And they do it in such a mealy-mouthed little way where they're sneaky about it.
And then this afternoon, on my way into work, they were predicting 2 to 3 and up to 5 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've changed it because it didn't snow.
Right.
Now they've changed it to nothing. And the crawl that they ran on the top of the screen...
Has it stopped snowing now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The crawl that they ran on the top of the screen yesterday,
mm-hmm.
while we were getting the 5 inches of unpredicted snow,
right.
was heaviest snow to continue throughout the day, tapering to flurries... around the dinner hour.
Ah, the dinner hour. That's another one of their tricks.
I went back to my wife and I said, honey, just for snacks, indulge me. When's the dinner hour? And she said, 7 o'clock. And I said, oh, for me it's 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
For an old person, it's 4 o'clock.
For me it's 11 o'clock.
For some people it's 5 o'clock. For my kids, 11 o'clock.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're leaving themselves just wide freaking open
sure.
by saying...
The dinner hour.
The dinner hour is when it's going to stop.
And then not
stopping.
Predicting it. And I heard a quote from Doug Hill where he was quoted as saying, you know, when we got the last one, we said 6 inches, we got it dead on, dead right. You didn't see any columns being written about that. Get a little paranoid.
Under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Here's what I do need help with. For the last 3 weeks... And especially during prime time, like CSI and CSI Miami and the other shows that I watch, you know, there are so many commercials for prescription drugs now.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one prescription drug, and here's the commercial. It's Dorothy Hamill, and she comes out and skates. And they don't say...
Get all the little kids with her?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Is there an outdoor arena, like out in the mountains?
They never say... what the drug is for.
Right.
It simply has...
Hair growth.
No. You know, it might very well be, Mike.
I don't know.
They just have the name of the product. And they don't say, and they don't run the usual disclaimer saying, you know, might cause diarrhea, your ball might fall off, mm-hmm. you know, your third eye is going to grow out of your back. No disclaimers, no nothing. It's just Dorothy Hamill skating around and then the name of the drug. What is the drug?
Well, and the drug companies have so much money, they can do commercials like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a commercial that means absolutely nothing. Here's another commercial that has driven me crazy. It's the one where there's the guy in the office, it's a Volkswagen commercial, where they show the guy in the office and he gets up and every day he wears the same clothes.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And it's 30 seconds. It's 30 seconds of watching the same slug in 4 different screens go to work every day, put his clothes on, and then finally, the last 5 seconds, he's looking out the window, and you don't even see the car, and it just says, the Beetle convertible. What a worthless commercial that is.
Have you seen the one shot they do for the Beetle convertible, where one good thing leads to another?
Yeah, but at least they show the car in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I'm bitching about, it's
I haven't seen that one.
It's just a guy going to work, and you never see the car. Not
is there
one
a slug line even?
No, the slug line
is... the car,
is,
I believe, right? Just shows the car, doesn't it?
No, it does. I mean...
At the end.
Now it does, but the one that they ran for the 2 weeks before this?
Maybe that car's full of all those drugs that Dorothy Hamill saw.
It didn't even show the car.
And the worst part is it has that damn pulsing techno music.
Well, no, it's actually Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Oh, I'm thinking of yet another annoying commercial.
You're thinking of a Mitsubishi commercial.
Yeah, no, could be.
No, I bet you're thinking of the one that's square.
That's
everything
it.
Is square.
All squares, yes. And then they mm-hmm. show the round Volkswagen. The another right. stupid spot.
That is annoying. Now, there is Mr. Blue Sky is not only being used in the Volkswagen ad, it's also in the ads for Adaptation.
What's Mr. Blue Sky?
By ELO. Mr. Blue Sky, dun, 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 so long, so long.
Okay, yeah,
dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, right. And, and Catch Me If You Can. I know you saw it and liked it, Buzz.
Yeah, I did.
Everybody seems to like it.
I loved it.
It can eat my bung.
Wow.
That movie can just eat my bung.
Sorry to hear that.
That is just, I know.
So you liked it?
I know it's, I know it's loosely based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
But they play too fast and loose with All the crap that Leo DiCaprio did in that movie.
Gets away with.
Yeah, don't waste your time. Waste your time with that. Also, while we're on vacation.
You know a good movie I saw on the holiday? Blow by with Johnny Depp.
Is that a year ago?
Yeah. Whatever.
I saw a good movie 18 times. Monsters, Inc.
Hey, there you go. That is a good movie.
It is.
Good. Oh, and you got a little kid, though, Robbie, right? Yeah. You get one that they like over and over.
You're just at the beginning of that. You get them all. How about Barbie's Rapunzel?
Hey, easy. Don't even say the word Barbie yet.
Try knocking that out.
Now, here's another thing that drove me nuts. I thought it was hilarious at first. The whole cloned baby thing. Once they started putting the people on TV who claim to have the clone baby...
Don't they look like they ought to be in, like, an evil movie?
Nobody mentions the fact that they're wearing, like, bad Star Trek villain outfits.
And they have bad mouths.
Yes, and they...
And they're crazy.
Evil teeth.
Yeah, I've not even noticed the mouths, and I've...
Well, they look foreign.
And, of course, they're nuts, Buzz.
Yeah.
But they're wearing, like, the Flash Gordon Star Trek, like... Klingon, not the Klingon.
We have cloned the baby to be superhuman and to kill the human race.
If you've, ever seen, outfits.
If you've ever seen Plan 9 from Outer Space, the worst science fiction movie ever made, they look like they're from that.
Thank you, Lisa. Here you go in the...
We have cloned the baby.
In the New People magazine. There's the guy. Look at him. Look at that outfit.
Maybe baby, Mr. Powers. This baby will be superhuman. I will name the baby Scott. And we will make Volkswagen commercials.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, welcome back, Radio Guys.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, that Mr. Blue Sky commercial, the guy is locked up in his office all day until he sees a convertible Volkswagen.
Well, that movie...
Now it makes sense to me.
That commercial stinks.
Well, it does suck, but that's the reason it's... The Blue Sky, because he's locked up all day in his office.
I like the Miller Lite commercial that I saw in the football game yesterday when they're talking about what would make a great Miller Lite commercial, and it's the ladies with cleavage, which is just about the best commercial that I've ever seen.
Horn dog.
It was a great ass.
They
even have a mud wrestling at the end. Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
You talking to me?
Yes.
And while we're on the subject, may I compliment the individual who put up the ads for the photo shoot for Christina Aguilera out in the hallway up there? Because I saw those in the actual magazine.
Plenty sexy, huh?
Oh, my God.
Bobby. Yeah, hi.
Thank you, Miss Bobby.
What can we do for you?
Don, it's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
I just want to tell you the Dorothy Hamill drug commercial is for osteoarthritis.
Well, why don't they say so?
Well, she is covert, but right in the beginning she says, you know, I don't know why I get up at 5 to skate or something. Must be all those years of training. And then she says that's the worst time for...
Didn't you see at the beginning of the commercial? And then she holds up her hand.
Like,
I can't skate anymore with these hooks.
That's it.
These deformed talons.
It's some legal thing, I guess. Right? All those drug commercials are like that. Allegra commercials, Claritin, back when it was still a prescription drug. They never said what it was for.
Paxil.
They just hinted at it.
They had a TV commercial for Paxil.
Yes, they did.
It's a commercial for arthritis.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, honey.
Viagra.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, Don and Mike. I love it when we use the European pronunciation, Viagra.
Viagra, yes.
Hello.
Paxil.
Hello.
Mike, hi.
How's it going?
Okay.
Hey, there are two different commercials that they do for Dorothy Hamill. One where they say the name of the drug, but they don't say what it does. And another one where she's talking about osteoarthritis, but they don't say what the drug is.
Right.
All right. Didn't you see if you flip so much that at the end of that, Dorothy Hamill skates off the ice and gets into a wheelchair.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I'll tell you, speaking of wheelchair, how freaking funny was it to see Christopher Reeve on New Year's Eve?
I didn't see him on New Year's Eve.
Well, they announced that he was going to do something.
He was there.
And as far as I can tell, all he did was just sat there in his chair.
Did he ride the ball down?
No, but Steve Doocy cracked me up.
Oh, really? Steve Doocy's got some great ratings, too.
Now, they got Steve Doocy now. Now, I was in the middle of a toast with people and paying not a lot of attention.
I didn't watch a lot of TV. I was in a bar.
But Steve Doocy asked some guy if he wanted to take a leak into a cup that he was holding. And it was really laugh-out-loud funny. And they went back to Dick Clark. And you could tell that it's the kind of toilet humor, no pun intended,
right,
Dick Clark's not into.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Dick Clark, you forget that he's 90.
It was like, all right, Steve, just kind of shaking his head. Right. All right, Steve. Let me go to the douchebag from, what was that show? The kid show, the, what was it? Saved by the Bell.
Oh,
got, they had the,
oh, Mario Lopez?
Yeah.
From the other half.
Yes, he was the other guy.
Oh, and he is the biggest moron on the
helping Dick
now.
Clark out on the rockin' New Year's Eve.
Oh, he's perfect for Dick Clark. Perfectly safe.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Come on, him, sir. Yes, sir. It's an honor to be on the show. He's like calling G. Gordon Liddy. It's an honor to be on the show, sir.
Ah, thank you.
Meanwhile, our buddy Steve Ducey down there asking the guy if he wants to take a leak into a cup. They come back to Dick Clark, the animatronic Dick Clark.
Not
shaking
funny.
His head. Not funny.
Not funny, Ducey.
Whoa. Hello, you there?
Hello, yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller. I was just calling to comment on that light beer commercial with the two girls wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, but hold up, you guys missed at the end when the one pulls the other one closer and says, "Do you want to make out?"
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Wow.
You better.
They were running it like that for a couple of weeks. Last night I was telling my wife about it. We saw it. They cut it out. But this morning I saw it again.
Oh, they probably got pressure from Dick Clark.
Yeah, I know, but I saw it on ESPN.
Whatever.
I saw it on ESPN this morning, and they ran it again. She clearly says, "Do you want to make out?
Do you want to make out?"
Yeah.
Don't let Dick hear about that.
Dick hates that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
I think that the reason they don't tell you what the drug does is because if they tell you that, they have to tell you what all the nasty side effects are.
No, if they tell you what the drug does, they have to kill you.
Right.
Bye-bye. See you later. Hello, Don and Mike. Oops. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
My brothers.
Hi.
I want to know why the F the stupid weathermen who don't know what the hell they're doing anyway are cutting out 20 yards of my beloved Steeler game while I'm having a heart attack just because they want
to... Don't drop the F-bomb.
Sorry about that, sir.
I want to say this. I agree with you and hear me out on this. It even pisses me off on Fox and CBS when they do the scores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the fact that they run the scores on the bottom of the screen and they
right.
tell you who did what. But why, when they do that, why do they have to take up the whole left-hand side?
Yeah, why do the screen?
Well, don't they put sponsors in there, too?
No.
No?
No, they don't. It's
garbage.
Just...
It's the same garbage that they ran just a minute before. And it's wrong.
I agree with you. And yesterday, if you live on the East Coast, during the football game, during a lot of the time, the game would become one quarter of the screen because on another quarter of the screen they had the Doppler radar.
Right.
In another corner of the screen they had real gigantic, like in big Charlie letters, the temperature.
Did you see late in the game where they had they blocked out half the screen and it was Dorothy Hamill sitting in a wheelchair with an orderly cutting her skate laces off?
Don Mike, hello.
Hello, radio guys. Welcome back.
I did see where Steve Ducey put Christopher Reeve into a Volkswagen, and he went number one all over it. Hello.
Yes, Mike, the NFL came out and issued an apology to the New York Giants. Did you hear about that? Seriously.
No. What happened?
They came out because of the, you know, the last play of the game, how there should have been a pass interference call, and they were claiming that there were ineligible men downfield.
Yeah.
Those guys apparently had checked in, and they were, like, tight ends on the end of the line, so they were actually eligible receivers. But
well, how about the Giants apologize?
Well, wait a minute. Then what? That's horrible.
How about the,
it is horrible.
How about the Giants apologize, though, for effing up the field goal to begin with?
Yeah, but the Giants, if that's the case, now he can't spike the ball, but it's an interference penalty, and they get the ball down at the 1 yard line.
Still,
and
no
they get to kick the no guarantee.
Still, no guarantee the guy could make the field goal from the 1 yard line.
Well, wait a minute, if the guys had checked in, how come they didn't? Why didn't they take care of that at the game?
The apology. But the dumbass should have spiked the ball to begin with.
No, because I heard today that the chief of NFL officials said you can't spike the ball if you're a long snap situation. You can only do that if you're under center.
It was great. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, if somebody on the line checks in as an eligible receiver, doesn't the official usually announce that or have...
No. No, you check in, though.
Sometimes, I do hear them say sometimes,
right, they're
67 is announced.
But it doesn't happen all the time, and the guy can actually, if he checks in... The head official should know that. That's what I don't get.
If you watch Fox after the game, when James Brown is trying to read the card about
right.
watch the Simpsons, Jimmy Johnson is so pissed at the Giants, and he's saying it's so unprofessional, the fact that last play was so effed up,
mm-hmm.
he's tapping his pencil like this. on the desk. And as they're going to break, here's what you hear. James Brown says, coming up tonight, The Simpsons. And you just hear this. Followed by an all-new King of the Hill. And then stay tuned for a new Malcolm and Andy Richter with Conan O'Brien. And they go back, and it's just Jimmy Johnson. Just going nuts like this because he's so mad at the Giants.
God, I tell you, what a horrible ending.
But listen, Giants fans, chill out. It's not like the 49ers are going to beat Tampa Bay next week.
Yeah, but the Giants would have a better shot against Tampa than the Niners would.
Not a chance.
The Giants were playing some weird football in the last couple of games.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Listen,
hey, can you guys sing the alphabet song for me?
Pardon me?
The alphabet song.
You mean the B-A-B-B-E-B-B-I-B-I-B-O-B-O-B-B-I-B-O-B-U-B-B-I-B-O-B-U?
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I just had to call. That guy pissed me off because I would have thought you would have known. First of all, the guy's an idiot. Only one lineman can check in as an eligible receiver. Not all four of them. And everyone was down the field.
No, not exactly.
Please. Well,
they had at least five linemen down the field at the end of that game, right?
Whatever.
Right.
I just checked on the internet. He had checked in prior to the game. And I guess that was supposed to...
Prior to the game?
It says prior to the game, he checked in with the official.
Made
prior
reservations.
To the game.
But only there was more than one lineman down the field. You can't pass the line of scrimmage. There were four of them down there.
Yeah, that's very common. It's known as early check-in.
Guy's an idiot.
Where are you calling
like
from?
Like to smash him in the face.
Where are you? You must be calling from the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, I'm calling from San Francisco, okay. But that's not even the point.
Okay, hold on here.
Yes, it is.
Hold on. I've got it right here. Thank you. Anyway, you guys are losing. I said, hey, in San Francisco, does anybody make fun of the way Jeff Garcia talks?
Super. Yeah, we all do.
All right, thank you.
He's home.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right, Mike, here it is from...
Here it is!
From the NFL.com. NFL statement on last play of Sunday's game. The Giants and 49ers were informed today that a defensive interference penalty should have been called.
Oh, no!
On the final play of yesterday's game.
No!
A videotape review by the NFL Director of Officiating showed the following. Number 65, Tam Hopkins, lined up as the left guard and was illegally downfield on the pass attempt. Three flags thrown on the play were for this penalty. The guard was an eligible receiver on Giants' field goal attempts. This was reported. 49 defensive end Cheeky Okafor interfered with the guy. He's the guy who grabbed...
So, in other words, the guy that the pass was thrown to was eligible?
Yes, when he tried to catch the pass from Matt Allen.
Well, how does that relate to the guys that were ineligible that were downfield anyway?
If pass interference had been called, there would have been offsetting penalties, ineligible receiver against the Giants, pass interference against the 49ers, and the down would have been replayed at the original line of scrimmage, the San Francisco 23-yard line.
Well, you know what? You know those striped shirts? You know what? It's just another case where you make these guys professionals and you don't have the amateur hour out there.
Although time had expired...
They would have put 1 second on the clock.
A game cannot end with offsetting penalties.
Right.
Thus, they would have had one untimed down to kick a field goal.
Wow.
But the guy was such a retard for the Giants, he would have missed it anyway, probably, right?
I don't doubt that for a second. I really don't, the way they were.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
here he is.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
Do you have any idea at all what we're talking about?
No.
What is your lead story today, Buzz?
All I know is I lost $200 on fantasy football this year. Tonight, the lead story, Angelo makes an honest woman out of TV's Leah Remini.
Oh, heard about this. Have you heard this yet, Mike?
No, I have not.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. Uncued, Rob.
This.
Hold on.
Hey.
Hold on. Here we go. I got it now.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
There you go. That was not very
divinational.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They suck hard and lavish attention elsewhere. Don and Mike.
Time for Buzzy. Brought to you by Veromax. Veromax Sexual Enhancer. I saw Dorothy Hamill give it as a Christopher Reeve. When they were having anal in a Volkswagen.
Right before he went in the cup.
great sex more often.
Vermax, available at finer health food stores, pharmacies, retailers everywhere, or call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. TV's Leah Remini, who co-stars in the CBS sitcom King of Queens, is getting married.
Who?
Leah Remini. Perhaps you remember her.
Yeah, right. Okay.
After a long courtship, her boyfriend, musician, and actor Angelo Pagan has finally proposed.
So what? We both have vaginas. So what?
I think that the soon-to-be-married Ms. Remini will be on tomorrow's program.
Oh, very good.
And fantastic. I didn't know his last name was Pagan.
Pagan, yes. Angelo Pagan.
We're going to run him through the... the sifter tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And then find out whether we get our invites or not.
Find out a little bit about this man.
He proposed on Christmas Eve.
Did he propose at the restaurant?
At Vivian's?
Where he works as a maitre d'.
He proposed at a restaurant in Studio City, so that kind of narrows it down.
This is Charlie Broyhill with the Don and Mike Show.
All
right now.
Well, we have so many producers. Let me see if I can find any producer.
Vivian's, of course, the restaurant owned and operated by Leah and her family.
And isn't Angela like the manager?
Hey, there's one of our producers. Anybody talk to the bride-to-be?
I have not spoken with her, but I've spoken with Nicole.
Ah, Nicole, of course, her pushy sister. Is she set for tomorrow?
Yep.
All right. At that time we talked about?
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
See ya.
Bye now.
All right, the bride-to-be on tomorrow's show.
Mrs. Leah Pagan.
Hold on, I forgot to... I've got to say something to Lisa.
Leah Pagan.
Where is she?
Hello?
Oh, I forgot to say titty bar.
Pussy whip.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bingo.
Bye-bye.
Leah's publicist, meanwhile, Samantha Hill, says the 32-year-old actress was taken completely by surprise with the proposal. Quoting Samantha, she was crying and so excited. The couple plans to marry this summer.
And I know what you're all wondering.
Yes.
Did he knock her up? We'll find out tomorrow. That'll be the first question.
Amen.
Good question.
Did he plant his demon seed?
Pagan seed.
Deep inside.
Mm.
Angelo Remini.
Well, there's one other thing the
Welcome
women...
Welcome to Vivian's. May I help you?
One other thing the women competing for Joe Millionaire didn't know about him. His criminal past.
There we go.
They hold more back. From a kid named Joe.
You know what? The other networks, they hold it until the show's going to debut.
Well, it's not like he hurt anybody, but it wouldn't be Fox if its fake millionaire didn't have some kind of spot on his
record.
Just
a guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
His real name, not Joe. 28-year-old construction worker Evan Marriott.
Joe's not just a name. It's an idea.
Marriott, of course he's rich.
He posed as a millionaire while women vied for his affection.
Joe.
The videotape results make up the new reality series Joe Millionaire, which premieres tonight. The Smoking Gun website did its usual sleuthing and found that Evan recently paid a $104 fine for blowing through a California toll plaza.
Joe.
Oh, big deal.
And again, coming soon to the Don and Mike Show, Joe Ardinger Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
As we spotlight the world's oldest phone screener.
What's really bugging...
We just got a very twisted instant message.
Very weird.
That flipped us out. You know, normally...
We haven't got an explanation from Joe on that, have we?
The instant message...
sends a twisted message.
No, it was received. I'm on AOL with my instant message, so I communicate with Charlie and with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, I guess, is on AOL, and an instant message from somebody to Joe showed up on the other screen, my computer screen...
Hmm.
And we were all very curious as to... Well, get his music, Rob.
I already got it.
Let's get to the bottom of the mystery.
Find out what happened.
All right, now, as we welcome everybody, the host of Stump the Joe and also the star of Stump the Joe.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
Here is Joe Ardinger.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, boss.
Hi there.
Without mentioning what exactly the I am said...
Yeah, I won't, I promise.
Because, you know, Lisa told me about it. I had... briefly, I am to my girlfriend from back there, and during the commercial break. And what happened is this: apparently, when I start this computer up in the morning or early afternoon to set up call screen, my AIM pops on automatically there. So then I signed off.
What the hell is he talking about?
Joe.
Well, you said it's convoluted.
We're more concerned about the subject of it. You two getting along okay?
yeah. We're good.
Joe's not just a name. It's an idea.
Is that all you wanted to know?
Yeah, and Joe, check with your old lady, your girlfriend, to find out how she feels about you being the star of Joe Ardinger Millionaire. Because the date can be platonic if you like.
Well, yeah.
Or if
the lady in question really wants to impress you.
How seriously involved with this girl are you?
We're pretty serious.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to save this for tomorrow.
Very good.
There's a lot about Joe we don't know, and tomorrow we'll be interviewing.
We'll know more about how... Well, first of all, I just want to watch the show tonight and see how, you know, their show goes.
Well, the thought here is no matter how theirs goes, we know what's going to happen with you. That we're going to treat you like a millionaire for a night.
You're going to be able to take some lovely woman out, and it's going to be they're going to be vying for your affections.
Right.
Who gets the date with millionaire Joe Ardinger?
And, you know, you'll love a tape recorder with you.
Am I going
I'm going to France. Get out of here.
In a castle in France? Okay.
Get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Going to Spain in a bag.
He's so hot.
Here he is, everybody.
Joe's the guy who wears the shirt that says Joe on it.
There he is. Star of the Joe Show.
Joe Ardinger.
What's really bugging Saddam Hussein these days is those pesky UN weapons inspectors. He's accusing them of doing more than just looking for nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons. Saddam says they're spying, doing intelligence work, gathering information to be used against him in a war that seems inevitable. Today's Army Day in Iraq, and in his Army Day speech, Saddam accused the inspectors of having a hidden agenda.
At the Army Day!
Army Day!
The inspectors deny the accusation. And if you think Osama bin Laden's anger is tied to some physical shortcoming on his part, you may be wrong.
I mean, he has a small wiener.
A woman who claims she was once one of his sex slaves says he has, quoting one news account, a very large sex organ.
Take a look at me.
But size isn't everything. Kola Boof of the Sudan says he smells terrible and tried to romance her with food stuck in his beard. She also says he bit her during sex.
Watch your language, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
I want to bite you.
She says Osama isn't happy until the woman is screaming in pain.
Wow. She has something in common. She has something in common with Rob Spiewak.
Not all bad.
Booth says she was that woman for 4 months back in 1996. Today, she lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, great.
When a Tucson, Arizona cop stopped a drunken driving suspect last week, he didn't roll his video camera. The officer was investigating the report of a car going the wrong way down a one-way street. It was a second officer who rolled the tape, apparently after both cops learned that their suspect was legendary singer Diana Ross.
Oh, now listen, do you have the details about this, about the alphabet and them?
I don't have the alphabet. I have some details of the story.
I was talking with a friend of mine who works out there.
Right.
Who said that Diana Ross's PR people were trying as hard as they can to make sure that this tape never gets out.
Right.
Because at one point they're asking her to recite the alphabet, and then they ask her to write down the alphabet.
Mm.
And I heard he had like a third generation bootleg copy of
right.
the tape.
Already.
Where she goes, A, B, C, 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 A, B, F, H, B, A...
It's all over the place.
Yeah, and then they ask you to count from 1 to 30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like
she's messed up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is fine. But beyond that, certainly being 7, 18, 22, 23...
So she was totally effed up.
Hike, right.
Well, now a judge has blocked the release of that video to the public, at least the original, for the time being. Ross's lawyer argued the video would irreparably damage his client's right to a fair trial. The 58-year-old has been charged with, and I've never heard of this charge before, extreme DUI.
As opposed to just mild DUI.
Right.
Wow.
And other misdemeanors. Ms. Ross was parked in a handicapped space at Blockbuster when she told the officers she'd gotten lost while out trying to rent a video.
And what time was that, Buzz? It was
in the middle of the night.
Yeah, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
When I get my videos, right after dinner.
Great. Hold on, Buzz. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rich with floating particles. The Don and Mike Show.
Wow, we just get the good stuff.
Oh, really?
The whole Diana Ross DUI write-up.
There you go.
With the cops' account of everything. I mean, not for public consumption.
Right.
I'll tell you where we got it from. Including Diana Ross. Tomorrow I'll share this with you. Her attempt to write the alphabet. And it's in her handwriting.
Oh, my.
So I'll read it to you, and then you have to see the handwriting, Mike.
Very good.
You have to see it. And the entire, the cop running through the entire, writing down everything that he did with Diana Ross, mm-hmm. and the little sketches of when she tried to walk in a straight line.
He's got to write that down?
Uh-huh.
Oh, very good.
All of that on tomorrow's show, and this is so funny from the DJ handbook. Mm-hmm. Every day we get a list of, like, celebrities who are having birthdays. For instance, Bonnie Franklin, that old bag.
Largest mouth in show business.
How many tennis balls could she get in her mouth?
8 tennis balls.
Also today, Howard Long. Howie Long from Fox. Wow.
Howard is how old today?
43, our friend Howie Long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two things that crack me up. One says, blah, blah, Fox TV Network, he works on NFL Sunday. Howie received rave reviews for his performance in the movie Broken Arrow.
Yes.
Don't recall that.
No, he was in here promoting that, I remember that.
And here's something else. Howie Long refuses to travel in the same aircraft as his wife for fear of orphaning their children.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go. Nice little detail.
Wow.
Nutty. Nutty Howie Long.
Yeah.
Howard Long.
I refuse to travel in the same aircraft as my wife for fear of not enjoying the flight.
How was your holiday, Rob?
It was delightful.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. The groundbreaking was today for a new housing complex called Bob Hope Village.
What is that? Hey, yes, yes.
I'm on the ground floor.
It's housing for the widows of Air Force enlisted men located near Eglin Air Force Base in the Florida Panhandle.
Wow.
I'm winning.
It's named after Bob Hope, partly for his work entertaining the troops all those years, and partly for the $1 million donation that'll pay for the Welcome Center and auditorium there.
Oh, the phones have extra big numbers on the keypad. Wow.
Neither Hope nor his wife, Dolores, were at the groundbreaking.
I'm white. Third time this hour.
Their daughter Linda was there instead, alongside the 83-year-old retired colonel who used to fly the comedian around the world for his USO show.
I went BM.
It's out with the old and in with the new for outgoing Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Remembering his wrestling career, people wore feather boas to his farewell bash in Minneapolis Saturday night. Reporters were not allowed in. Ventura doesn't like reporters.
Yeah.
But he's about to become one after a fashion. Word is he's in talks with MSNBC to host his own show on the Third Place News Network. The governor is also the proud new owner of a 2003 Humvee.
How come you can't do oral on a senior citizen?
Why? Depends.
It'd be a stargazer's romantic dream to see J-Lo marry Ben Affleck on Valentine's Day.
I told her. I'm what?
But
I'm
it isn't going to happen.
Yeah. I'm what?
Lopez says there will be a wedding, but she says the date's not yet been decided.
I made chili.
Oh, God.
That's not chilly. In sports, Green Bay quarterback Brett Favre is finally talking, and he's not talking about leaving. There was speculation Favre was about to retire after he refused to talk to reporters Saturday for only the third time in his career.
He's buying Remington.
He'd just come off a loss to Atlanta.
He's white.
But today, he says he's playing well, that the Packers have a chance to do well, and that he'll be there next year to see them through.
He made chili.
Go get a tractor, Brett.
I think it's a Packer tractor.
No doubt.
$30,000. Yeah, that's bright.
Finally, some of the homeless people with alcohol problems have fresher smelling breath these days. It's prompted drug and convenience stores in Boston and other cities to start putting certain mouthwash products behind the counter. Some homeless folks have taken to buying and sometimes stealing bottles of Listerine and other products containing alcohol.
Yummy!
A bottle of wine is 12% alcohol. A bottle of Listerine is 27%.
Tell me something I don't know.
Quoting one consumer...